podcast. The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God.
It's code. You should watch Law and Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, apparently the disclaimer allows us to do anything we want now.
What? No, there was nothing in
nothing
that that's
wrong
worse
with that.
Than what you've said over the years. Nothing.
No, but that's, you know.
You haven't seen the movie though, have you, Fred?
What movie is that?
Dinner for Schmucks?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, it's funny good. Based on some of those lines.
It is good.
All right.
Well. Several times laughed out loud.
It's a new opening.
It's a great movie.
It's a nice effort by Kevin.
I like that. It's a new opening. It's a great movie. Okay. Well, I was going to say it was a good opening, but, you know.
It's a great opening.
I was just going with the praise.
All right. Well, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. What? What?
It's another special off-season edition.
It is another special off-season edition.
you forgot your own gimmick.
You waited. You.
I told
you spoke
these guys
too soon. You
spoke
you
too soon.
Didn't
Andy.
Have your show prep today because you were in your office right up until 11:50, and usually you come down here a half hour early. And I knew you were going to screw something up, and you did.
We already have two emails that says we're barely audible. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but Jason
is that any different than normal?
That's what happens when the real talent takes a day off. Evidently.
Well.
Yeah, Kevin's not here.
Now third opening, third email, fourth
Four,
email.
Fifth.
No one heard the opening.
And
sorry to say.
Getting redder by the minute.
Jason.
Great open. Nobody
we're
heard
just here
it.
For lunch.
We'll re-rack it at the top of the hour.
That's a good idea.
That's what they say
yeah,
in the biz,
we
I think.
Should. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, did you have a good weekend? Did you do
sure.
anything special?
No.
No?
Did you?
What did I do?
You
this
took
weekend?
Valentine's Day off.
I
and
did.
I want to know what romantic little engagement you had.
We
with your
watched
wife.
The town.
Which bank? Would you like?
I liked it. It was good. Yeah. It was very good.
Yeah, I liked it
very
too.
Good.
That's
yeah.
your romantic Valentine's with your wife.
It's kind of a romantic movie at the end.
Everything kind of works out right for him at the end, you know. So.
Did you buy flowers, chocolates?
No, none of that crap.
Dinner. Anything?
None of that crap.
None of that crap. Did you wear your pants?
No. Well, he was home, so he probably, you know. It was Valentine's Day, so the pants were off, baby.
But I just think it's funny that literally no one heard that opening.
Poor Kevin. Kevin worked hard on that for a couple days, like breaking down the movie. And
yeah.
He did good.
No one heard it. We're going to re-rack
he
it,
He came
right?
in at 3 a.m. to work on it.
Plus, he's under the weather. I don't know if you know, Freddie had a car accident on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A semi-major one.
Yeah.
Really?
They had to use the jaws of ice to get him out.
He was here yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's
oh,
hurt,
he was?
But the accident, I mean, he hit a tractor-trailer truck. Anytime a car and a tractor-trailer truck collide, it's...
Anytime the jaws of life are needed.
Oh, yeah, they needed the jaws here, of life to get him out.
He was here within an hour after the accident. He called me and goes, I'm going to be late. And I go, oh, what's up? And he tells me what happened. I go, dude, go home. Like, why would
well,
you
what happened?
To work?
You know
well,
what happened?
What were you doing up at 4 o'clock in the morning?
It was actually at about 9. Oh, I was here.
Good, Paul. Just figured if he was on his way to work.
He was coming up Route 1.
I guess
the truck was making an illegal U-turn.
Down by
and
that
Kev
rooster,
had a
right?
green light and was coming over the hill and doing about 55. And the truck was in the middle of Route 1 and he moved, kept moving left to try to avoid it and got to the point that there was nowhere else
this,
to go.
This right here up in Walpole?
Yeah.
Right at the top of the hill there?
No, coming from the south.
Okay.
And, up of what hill? By the state police barracks?
No, it's where we used to have our office. You can... It's kind of a steep hill. And you come to that light, and I could see if someone would make it a U-turn there, that where that could happen.
He went right.
He was in trouble when he said, my plan was to drive into oncoming traffic. That's how he was going to avoid the accident. Well, good plan there.
He went right into the gas tank of the 18-wheeler. They had a Jaws of Life him out of the car, and I think his car is totaled. He's at the doctor's today.
Holy crap.
And then the car blew up just as they pulled him out, like on TV.
He's lucky he's got just a sore neck or whatever.
He's lucky he was kind of a dumbass before, so you can't really tell if he's
Well, I wouldn't declare anything wrong until you've had a full evaluation.
With my lawyer present.
Exactly. No. I mean, this guy's making an illegal U-turn in a, and for
let's,
a company. And...
Let's keep the lawyers out of it, Fred.
Yeah.
No, I want my lawyer involved.
Yeah.
I want
this one I disagree with the owner. The lawyers need to be involved.
Yep. Yeah. So he may not be coming back to work, Jason.
No, he's fine.
He might have hit his payday. Right there. You know, we know the company of the driver.
I don't. He didn't tell me that.
Okay.
I hope he wasn't an idiot and said, no, I'm fine. I don't need anything. I'd be like, I want cops. I want
ambulances.
Well,
you don't say anything.
Everything.
I'm fine.
Right.
You know,
I want it on the record. I sign nothing.
I think you have like 2 years before you have records? To. Yeah. Up to 2 years. You know,
I think he refused the ambulance. He said the state police drove him to the stadium on Friday.
2 years?
I think, you know, like. Things could happen, you know, with your back as related
delayed
to the
reaction
injury. Yeah.
Injuries for 2 years?
Yeah. So.
Wow. Or you run into some bad luck and need some money.
Yep. So that's not good. That kind of screws up your weekend.
Kind of screwed up the start of the show, too, because Doc is out of practice, apparently.
And so what's he doing for a car now?
But I can order lunch like a pro.
He's going to buy one.
Well, yeah, I know, but
well, how did he get here yesterday?
Right. Well, he said he got driven by the state
police. Dropped him off.
Well,
that was Friday.
Oh. I think he's got a rental right now.
And his dad dropped one off for a while that he was using. His dad carpooled with somebody. He'll make do.
All right. Well, yesterday, the Patriots tagged Logan Mankins.
Slapped him with it.
As everyone is quick to say, no surprise here.
Then why are you writing it?
I know. But, you know, they all have to make sure everyone knows that we expect.
I knew that
this.
Was coming.
Right.
I knew that was coming.
Right.
Fred might be the only guy that dislikes the social media more than I do,
no.
yet promotes it.
I love social media. It now, you know, takes down countries. But, I mean, as far as reporters go, it, you know, it's just, there's this, like, frantic need to, like, you know.
To be heard.
To be heard and, you know, to make sure that everyone knows that I knew
things.
Did
you see how the Herald wrote it? As we told you Thursday night and again on Friday morning, the Patriots were going to tag, and they did today or whatever. They, like, rehashed every time they told you it was going to happen.
Was that online?
Yeah, something. Twitter or blog.
Yeah, because that's not what
was on the paper. I would hope they didn't write that as the lead to their story.
I'll bet they tried, and the editors changed it.
They have editors? Well, is that a new thing?
Very good point.
So the only thing missing from the Logan Mankins story is the reaction of Logan Mankins. We don't know that.
Well, he kind of pre-reacted at the Pro Bowl and
said
he wouldn't be happy.
He wouldn't be happy, but what
does
that
mean? Which they never are.
Well, now they gave it to me, and...
I'm okay with it. Did you find it strange, Fred, that in the official announcement by the team, there was a quote with no attribution?
You know what? I didn't even read the release. what did it say?
Well, there's a nice quote.
It's the same quote from last year from Mankins. Okay. I mean, for
but
Will
it's Ford. It's not attributed to anybody in the organization.
It just says from
last year's, I assume, said specifically from Belichick.
I don't recall whether last year's did or didn't.
Well, what's the
quote? I thought when you looked at it.
It's Logan Mankins is a tremendous player. He's been a fixture on our offensive line since we drafted him in the first round of the 2005 NFL draft. He remains an important part of our future plans. Unfortunately, we've not been able to reach a long-term agreement despite many attempts and proposals by both sides. That remains our objective in utilizing the franchise designation, and we are hopeful that Logan will be a Patriot for many years to come. End quote.
Hmm.
See, now, if they didn't have it attributed to anybody for Will Fork last year, then I don't find it strange. If they did last year, that same, because it was the same quote, Andy went and looked it up.
Yeah, the only difference with last year's was they used, like, top priority. A long-term agreement with Vince Wilfork has been the team's top contractual priority.
So it's a team statement.
Yes.
Right. And if that's what they did last year for Will Fork, that's the same thing. Because it's the same, Andy looked up
the
words,
language.
Literally, it was like 70 out of the 80 words
are the same. Because Tom Curran tried to write... He wrote an analysis saying the first part is positive.
Right.
And then the second
exasperation
part.
And...
But it isn't. It's the same words with Mankins. And last year with Mankins, how long was it? A week later, 2 weeks later, they had $40 million contract in place. So I didn't take any exasperation. It's the same basic statement in a similar situation.
Yep. But again, despite Mankins saying he wouldn't be happy if they did that, again, what does that mean? now that they've done it and he's going to be guaranteed $10 million this year.
Maybe.
It's, well, yeah.
This is where we pick and choose what's going to move forward.
Well, we can't be putting an asterisk with everything we say. We have to just assume that if the season goes as scheduled, he'll get $10.1 million or something like that.
10.1, yeah.
Which is not bad for.
It's more than he's made in his first 5 years.
You know, so is he really unhappy or is he just unhappy because he wishes he had a longer term contract?
More than 10 million. For
and
sure.
Is he unhappy to the point where he's going to sit out? And that's the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, for any length of time, is he going to sit out?
I don't know.
I would assume.
I don't know.
I mean, he sat out last year. Wouldn't he sit out again?
Well, it's a little bit different. You know, a little bit different scenario. So
how exactly? I mean, other than the number is significantly larger for the money.
Yeah.
But he said it was about principle. He said it wasn't about money.
Well, a lot of those principles break down when there's $10 million staring at you.
No, but he can just show up and play the season. I'm talking about at whatever point we have off-season, whatever, training camps, mini camp, I would expect him to miss those.
Well, you get fined if it's a scheduled team.
Not if he doesn't sign it.
Not if he doesn't sign it.
He's not under a contract until he signs the tender.
Well, good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess you would.
So I would assume the earliest you'd see him is like a week before the season starts or whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Are we okay with that?
Sure. Halfway through the season, he was an all-pro.
Based on what he did last year,
he plays
I'm okay
the full season, he'll be the best guard ever.
Yeah.
Will his teammates be okay with that?
Yep.
Again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they know
that he'll be ready.
And it's just business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Now, I don't know what the organization will feel. The players
will
be fine.
Well, they could railroad him or try to railroad him by pulling it off the table, because if he doesn't sign it, it's not official. You pull it out September 2nd before he signs it, and you try to make him go to free agency. I don't think it's a smart deal, but that's the only way a team can try to hope everybody has spent all their money and he can't sign anywhere else.
He would get more than $10 million in 2011.
Yeah.
In 2011. I'm not talking about...
Right, including step bonus
and
all that.
I'm not talking about the whole contract, because that's obviously will dwarf it.
Yeah,
I heard a lot of people say, you know, $10.1 million, that's more than he's ever made. Well, it's a fraction of what he would make if he was truly, as Karen Gregan wrote today, on the open market.
Right. When you add in the bonus and all that, the average year's salary wouldn't be 10.1, but, you know.
The money.
Yeah.
When you add in the money.
Well, and it would be pretty close. Evans makes 8 and change, right? It's 7
something
years,
like that.
56 and change.
So and he doesn't have to worry about getting hurt.
Right. And he got, I believe, was it 15 or 19 up front, $26 million in the first three. So he got, there's more money guaranteed. Significantly.
Sure.
2 to 3 times more guaranteed.
Sure.
Certainly, I think both sides have still plenty of incentive to get a long-term deal done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't rule that out. I don't think it's an impossibility. Despite the comments that Mankins has made, I think it's business. Mm-hmm. I think it's just it's just talk. I think if they go to him and they give him what he wants. Now, the question is, do the Patriots do that? Because typically they haven't. I think you're going to have to make him the highest paid guard right now. Do you think that he'll sign for much less than that?
No.
No.
And I'm not sure the Patriots would do that.
Well,
but the other issue
but
is
then
just
you
the
get
CBA.
To a you get to a contract like
oh,
Brady.
No, we're taking that part, we're
well,
taking
know,
that stuff
like,
off the table.
It's all going to happen so quickly. Like, if they don't reach an agreement till September, then all of a sudden you got to rush to Logan Mankins and try to, because, I mean, he even himself said, I'm not really worried about it until the CBA gets done. There's nothing to
right.
worry
and
about.
Right. And if the CBA doesn't get done until September, then it's all moot because, he's not going to hold out.
Right.
At that point, he's going to come and play.
Different than the Wilfork
and just
where
play
you had the normal
right
schedule, and 2 weeks later they sign him, and they really did want to
because there have been stories. That's a good point that Andy brings up. There's been stories that both Light and Mankins have, on the record, said they plan on waiting. They don't really want to talk about any of this stuff now until there's a new CBA
in place. Which makes perfect sense if you're a player.
And that could be, as Andy says, September. Who knows?
It could
or worse.
Be.
Yeah. A lot of people now are saying that they expect games to be missed.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it just changes by the day, but who knows?
So I guess that's out there on the table, you know, to our listeners. If Logan Mankins sits out again, doesn't come back to September, do you have any problem with it? You know, as a fan.
Well, I would, yeah.
You would?
As a fan? Absolutely. I want my players on the field.
No, but if he plays the first game, if he sits out till September.
Oh. If he plays the game, that's all I care about.
Yeah. Now, if he shows up ready to play,
I thought you
Paul,
meant if he
do you
sits
think
out.
He'll be ready to
play? No, I thought if he didn't play,
no.
If he missed games.
No, I wanted to get back to our argument on what ready means.
Like last year. Yeah.
Like, I don't want him missing 7 games. If I'm just Joe Fan, I want my, you know,
no,
it's
won't.
Like Billy Sullivan all over again.
That's where I agree with you. He won't. because the money adds up quicker.
Yeah.
Last year, when you're making 1 point whatever total,
he didn't lose anything.
Those game
last
checks
year
are a lot smaller. Now you're talking about
people made a big deal as his tender offer got cut from 3 to 1 and three and change to 1 and change. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Is Mankins isn't married? Is he?
For me,
Oh, he is married.
Yeah. He's got a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that makes a difference now.
He's made $6 million.
No, I know, but still,
he's probably got it all.
But he's married to his longtime.
He was married when he got here.
Yeah.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. So
he got married very quickly because I know for a fact he had a kid when he was a rookie.
Oh, he might have had a kid, but I don't think he was married because in my DP story, his wife performed some marriage ceremony.
Yeah,
I
just said if he wasn't married, he got married very, very
regardless,
quickly.
Regardless, they've been
and
together
it was a
forever.
Long time.
They've been through the whole thing together. They share the same principles, you'd think, or whatever. Not some girl who wants to go get her fancy handbag that costs X million dollars and you better get your ass in camp and play.
That'd be funny.
Also, since our last show, officially,
if she needs a handbag, he'll kill a cow and make a damn handbag.
who are you referring to when you're talking about that sort of wife, player wife?
I don't know.
Since our last show, officially, the Patriots.
No one on the Patriots.
there's exasperation in there.
Oh, by the way, I'm not going to talk now.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go on a vow of silence because I learned it's the end thing to do. Did you know Clarence Thomas hasn't spoken in 5 years?
Well, he hasn't spoken on the bench.
Yeah.
In a ruling, hasn't spoken in 5 years.
Exactly.
This is our bench. This is our show. Okay. So if he, because you know why?
We can't shut him up upstairs.
I know. He, quote, found it hard to get a word in edgewise.
Well,
if he can do it, why can't I?
Yeah, but he also did some writing, which we're still waiting for.
You've also never had a hard time getting a word in edgewise.
Right. I've also never molested. Was he the one who molested the lady?
No,
he was
accused of some pubic hair and cocaine.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I don't remember the details.
That's exactly what it was, too.
Wait, the Clarence Thomas was Anita Hill, right?
Yes, right. And she said that he
mentioned that there was pubic hair and cocaine.
Yeah.
Among others, asking her out several times and stuff like that. But anyway.
Wait a minute. I don't get it.
Don't bother
with it. His pubic hair or hers?
A pubic hair. He didn't know.
Just a dirty Coke can.
Right.
Because I just got a postseason guide from PR that looks like it had a pube on the cover.
That was Stacey's.
Fred.
What? Well, he wrote it. I'm just assuming, you know.
Why'd you get a postseason guide now?
We have one to share. Like the final,
including playoffs.
Oh, including that game.
Yeah, has everything. Has like the draft preview stuff in it or whatever.
And we have one to share.
Yes.
Wow. Moving up.
We also have one pube to share.
But it's also available online.
Yes, I believe it is. I would assume it is.
What was I saying before?
God only knows.
Oh, since our last show, the Patriots made it official and made Bill O'Brien offensive coordinator.
As we all expected.
As we all expected. Mm. As we always thought he was.
What we didn't expect was Matt Patricia to change jobs.
Yeah, and not get...
Well, before we get to Matt changing from linebackers to the backfield there.
The backfield. Safeties.
Defensive backfield.
Safeties.
Yeah, safeties specifically.
Was it specifically safeties?
Yes, just safeties. Okay. You know, the job vacated by Corwin Brown.
Still in the backfield.
Hey. Look who's here.
Looking no worse for wear. Kevin
he spoke
shows
with
up.
A lawyer. He's starting to look stiffer. He's walking.
Yeah,
to
we the did. He
talked to a lawyer. Yeah.
We have some legal advice.
You notice he doesn't have to come in early anymore.
Where's the?
He does have cookies though, so he's my new best friend.
Where's the neck brace?
Even though Doc ruined his open.
But let me tell you.
No, Kevin. My mom baked them for you guys.
Nice. Really? Wow.
Doc really did ruin your open.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, we're gonna have to play it again. And
no
the
one
next,
heard it.
The next hour.
What happened?
I don't know. He screwed something.
There was no volume.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
We'll re-rack it, Tom.
I'll take one of those. We'll play it again.
I'll have to take one of those Pepsis upstairs there.
We heard it, though, and it was good.
Kevin's here, so later on we'll talk to him, get a blow-by-blow of his accident and what's next for him
in his future. I don't know if he wants to speak publicly on that.
He might not be able to talk about it right now.
For Kevin. Point.
Court records.
It's a good point. But getting back to Bill O'Brien, earlier, you know, last year when the year started, we speculated about why someone like him wouldn't be just given the title.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the answers that the speculation was, well, maybe he has to earn it. Maybe Bill wants to protect these guys because he's sick and tired of them getting poached. Now that he has basically performed the job and been given the title, do we conclude that he finally, in Belichick's eyes, earned the title? Or is it a change of philosophy? What do you think?
No, I think he earned it. He gave it to him.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's easy to see how he earned it. They went 14-2.
And they also
had an offense that transformed
mid-season,
and they led the league in scoring. I mean,
and didn't
pretty good resume boost right there.
He
I have no idea.
I'm trying to remember exactly what the timeline was for Josh McDaniels. He was quarterback's coach first, right? And then became OC.
Right.
And was 2 years that he
one
was?
1 year.
Just 1 year?
1 year where he was, we all knew he was a coordinator, but he wasn't.
I thought it was.
That's why there was some surprise last year that he didn't follow the same path, because people assumed it would be the same path, and it was a little bit off.
Whoa. And O'Brien has had OC experience.
Yes.
Albeit at the college level, whereas McDaniels didn't. So it was a little more surprising when O'Brien didn't get the nod last year. But
I would have been stunned personally had he not gotten it this year after the year he had. And after just seeing how it unfolded with Belichick doing everything defensively, he had the role, he was your coordinator, and he was successful in it. At some point, you got to give it to him.
Right.
And they did.
You know, we have had some random emails in the offseason. Oh, man.
Are you spillage already?
I haven't even started eating, and I don't even have ketchup open, and I have ketchup on my shirt. I don't even know where it came from.
It's probably buffalo sauce.
Anyway.
It's probably harder to get out.
Poor Freddy.
Shout it out.
So I just have some shout things upstairs.
OxyClean, I hear, is the best.
I heard that's a scam.
I read a story that all like NHL equipment managers, anytime there's blood or anything on jerseys, they put a scoop of OxyClean and it does the trick. And if they, I mean, think of how dirty some of those
are. That was the old Billy Mays product, right?
Right.
The late Billy
Mays.
God
rest his soul. I don't know what a stole is.
So, no, good for Bill O'Brien. But I think that, you know, we did get a couple random emails in the offseason. Oh, you know, the Patriots are too predictable and all that stuff. But, you know, just look at the results. You know, I think they look at that last game, and that's the last thing that people remember.
But they were anything but predictable.
We got them for Weiss. That's what people do. They rip the play calling when the offense doesn't have a great game. But the bottom line is they scored a lot of points. The offense, I thought, was very good, and I thought overcame that challenge of losing Randy Moss and transforming on the fly, and he was a big part of that.
And the other thing I think that's encouraging about him getting the title finally is it shows that he probably has a pretty good relationship with Brady, which is, I think, really important. I think whoever has that title has to be able to get along and work well with Brady, because, you know, Brady's as much a coach as anyone out there.
Yeah, at this point.
As far as, you know, coordinating and stuff. So I think it's a good sign, good for the Patriots.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I, for all the reasons Andy said, just, you know, the overcoming the mid-season adjustment that was, you know, thrown in there on the fly, I think that was impressive. And to your point, Freddie, I think, and Andy and I talked about this on Friday during our Roster Report podcast, I think an element that is a little bit undersold are how many times you see Brady and Bill O'Brien sort of going at it. And I think that's a good thing. I think that shows the confidence level that O'Brien has that they can go at each other. And obviously they've been able to coexist well because they've been very productive. So it's not a situation where they butt heads all the time and it's a tough working environment. I don't see any signs of that based on the performance on the field. So I like the fact that O'Brien can go at Brady and they can question each other and sort of go back and forth, yet still be productive.
Well, and even going back to when Moss was on the team, you know, there was that story about the halftime confrontation that the two of them had. Bill O'Brien's not afraid to, doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
You know, you can be the superstar and that's fine, but he has his opinions.
That's the way a coach should be.
Right, and that's his job. And he's not going to back down to these guys. And, like Belichick said before, you need that. You need a certain amount of guys that will. So I'm assuming that he probably does the same thing with Bill. You know, if he disagrees with Belichick, I'm assuming that, you know, doesn't yell at him, but, you know, he speaks his mind, and that's good. The more guys you have, competent guys you have on your staff that can do that, the better.
And a question we had last couple of years, I know specifically at the end of the previous season, there were questions, and Bill answered it honestly, talking about, are there enough guys willing to challenge you on this staff, willing to say no, Bill, or maybe we shouldn't do it that way? And it looks like Bill O'Brien certainly developing into one of those guys that has his own thoughts, ideas, and backs them up.
All right. We got a lot to talk about, including we mentioned Matt Patricia moving to safeties. We'll talk about that. And I believe I ordered boneless buffalo wings, but we'll deal with that in the break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
You're all right. Just the jeans today?
Yeah,
for like at least a week.
Because
one day you can wake up and you can't get out of bed.
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you.
I'm serious, though.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me
about. No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her.
But
online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, another special off-season show. Thank you to the world's most interesting Patriots fan, James Pettigrew, for lunch today, which I'm eating. But Doc left, didn't get lunch right either. Not only did he have...
Everything goes to hell when I'm not here.
Kevin's really hard work muted at the beginning of the show. I asked him specifically for boneless buffalo wings so I could eat them easily with one hand. Now I can't. So now I've lost my focus. I've got to do the show, and I'm thinking
this
I want another wing.
Off.
You were focused before that?
Apparently you were. Turn your mic on, Eric.
Now
show
I,
is a
now I can't eat and talk. Shouldn't do that anyway, but Paul, like, Paul just zones out.
Right.
He, like, he pushes the mic show,
3 feet away. He's like, I'm off.
Show, I'm not contributing until I'm done with my
break
lunch.
Time.
Union job.
It's all right, Paul.
No, when we're talking about O'Brien, I chimed in.
No, you did.
And, you know, you're just kind of setting the scene, so I'm eating.
No, okay. What do you got there? Pepperoni,
small pizza.
Cheese, pizza. Nice. Andy's got a roast beef with mustard. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Eric, what do you have?
Turkey, lettuce, tomato.
He puts mustard on roast beef, just not hot dogs.
Right.
I put it on both. I don't like, what would you get, mayonnaise or whatever?
On roast beef, yeah, mayonnaise.
But in the oven?
Like, no, you put the mayo on after.
Yeah, I don't want warm and mayo mixing.
Okay. And then, Eric, you have a?
Turkey. Lettuce, tomato.
Nice.
Pickles.
Any mayo?
Nice. No
mayo. No. Okay. All right.
Quick aside I need to get to before we get back to very important football talk, which I do agree the Patricia topic is interesting. A new infomercial I saw for you, Fred. Did you see the Spinster? No, the Stirbot? The little three-legged stirrer for cooking that you put in the pan and it's battery-operated and it just stirs by itself the whole time? It's on three rubber non-stick legs. So, like, you're making scrambled eggs, whatever. You just put it in, and it can go.
It's a good idea if it works.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
I'll admit it.
Because you really, like, if you're doing something that sticks to the bottom, you really need to get down there.
They showed it doing, like, chocolate or melting, all these things that could burn. It looked very interesting.
Okay.
Why didn't you think of that one?
It's interesting. All right.
I'm going to buy it.
Like, it's a good idea if it works.
Well, yeah.
That could be applied to every infomercial we've ever seen.
Well, the gutter cleaner is...
There's a shock.
Well, here's the problem. If they're dry leaves and they're loose, it works fine.
Yeah, so does the wind.
But all it takes is you know, some mud or a stick, and it's dead in its tracks. That's the problem with it.
You're a sucker.
It takes, you know, you can't just run it and leave it. You got to kind of tend to it.
Defeats the purpose.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stupid. We all knew that. I'm glad you finally came to that realization. But
well, I had to give it a fair test before I gave it, you know, a final
up or down. No, you didn't.
Why didn't I have
it? It was obvious that was not going to work.
Well, still selling them.
Yeah, there's a lot of suckers in this world. There's one born every minute, right?
So, you know. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The other coaching announcement the Patriots made was moving Matt Patricia to safeties from linebacker. And who's now the linebacker coach?
Patty Graham.
Patrick Graham.
Patrick Graham. So
you've never heard that name, have you?
No.
He was a coaching assistant the last
right. He used
year.
To work with the outside edge rushers a lot in camp. That's when the only time we really noticed him doing a ton. Yeah. He would work with Banta Kane and Cunningham and those guys. So it makes sense that he's with the linebackers now.
So what do you think? What do you make of this? Is it, you know, Corin Brown, obviously, he's gone.
Right. It seems to
they just need the extra help in the safeties, or does this Graham – they see a lot of potential and they want to give him a shot at linebackers.
Well, that may be that may be the case, but for Patricia specifically, it seems to me like a little bit of a demotion, because not only are you going from not going up to coordinator status, you're losing an entire position, inside and outside linebackers, to only a segment of another position.
And a position that is involved on defense with absolutely everything you do, from play calling to the run game to the pass game to blitzing to pass drops, whatever. Linebacker is involved with it, which is why you'd think it would make sense a defensive coordinator in the waiting would be your linebackers coach.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I think even if they said, you know, Patrick Graham, this guy he's a comer. He's too good to just be a coaching assistant. Even if they made him the outside linebackers coach and kept Patricia with the inside linebackers to do all the things that Andy just said, I think would have made sense. But instead, They're moving him from there. And let's face it, the linebacker situation is anything but settled. That's an important spot right now because you're really only dealing with one proven commodity, and that's Gerard Mayo. Other than that, you have nothing outside proven, and you're dealing with a couple of maybes with Gary Guyton and Brandon Spikes.
You could say Banta Kane is proven in that you know what you're getting from him. But
yeah, I don't know if he'll even be on the team next
year. No, I know, but I see.
Okay, so I'll give you another scenario. It's a mate, you know, again, this is all speculation. But what if, you know, Belichick is saying to himself, you know, I'm during camp, I'm kind of like the linebackers coach as well as coordinator. I'm going to work a lot with them. Graham will kind of mentor underneath me.
Yep.
Matt, I'm going to give you some experience at another position because it might be one step closer to becoming a defensive coordinator.
It's a tremendous theory. I like it.
Okay. I like your theory until the last part, but the Belichick part I think is spot on. Yeah. Absolutely spot on. I think that is the rationale.
In a 3-4, you know, obviously the core are your linebackers. Do you put an assistant in charge of the most important part of your defense? It, probably not. You know, so I would imagine Belichick is going to spend special attention to the linebackers and let Graham learn kind of underneath him. You know,
and we've seen him do that a lot with Patricia. Spend time with Patricia working with the linebackers.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where he normally is. I think your first idea is the smartest one. That, and I don't know why they now believe they need a safeties coach and not just a secondary coach or a defensive backs coach, but for the last couple of years now, we're seeing they believe that that's two different coaching jobs. Josh Boyer with the corners and Brown, and now Patricia with the safeties. I think Bill just looks at it. I'm not hiring somebody from outside. How can I best, excuse me, a couple French fries fell out.
Of what?
My mouth.
Oh.
How can I best fill out my coaching staff? And
of what?
Patricia is a good veteran coach. He probably has some confidence in moving him back there. I'm going to be with the linebackers. I like Patrick Graham. We want to move him up a little bit, but he's worked with the linebackers a little bit. That's all he really knows. I can't make him the safeties coach. I can make Patricia.
Right.
Just kind of seeing what you have and where all the pegs fit, and it involved moving Patricia.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Because I think the first and foremost is it's unlikely he's going to hire somebody from outside the organization.
So I don't think there's any question about that.
You start understanding that, it means, well, okay, these bodies here, I got X number of bodies. How do I move them around to best? That's the best
based way. Based on history, I don't see how you can dispute that. He hasn't hired really anybody from the outside.
Anytime they get hired, they're soon to be gone.
Right. You know, like Dom Capers.
Maybe Dom Capers.
All of them, though.
I don't even consider Cole and Brown from the outside. Because I think that he was enough of an inner sanctum guy.
But every guy he's ever hired has been fired. Pete Mangurian, Joel Collier, Dean Pease, all these guys that have been brought in are also asked to leave at some point.
Outside guys, you mean, that are brought in?
Yeah, but I even think that a lot, like Dean Pease to me is another inside guy. He worked under Saban.
Right, but,
you know, but you're right.
They've all been asked to leave.
They've at some point.
The ones that develop here
going.
Are the ones that generally stay for a while, and then they leave if they get a better job.
Yeah, because there's a difference between, like, Brad Sealy,
was
a special teams coach for Belichick for, what, 8 years, nine years?
He just wanted more money.
And he left.
Right,
He left on his own volition, not because of...
And a title.
Performance.
I think when it comes to defensive coordinator, Belichick's a lot like me shoveling snow. Yeah, I have my kids started, but I end up doing it myself anyway because of the way I want it done a certain way.
That's because you allow your son to get away with that. You should make him do it the way you want it done.
It's hard, though. It's... You know.
But we know he's capable of shoveling the driveway. We're not sure these coaches are capable of running the defense.
I don't know about that first part either. web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And I guess there's still audio problems. Tracy from Vegas says, what's up? First we miss out on what may have been the best opening in the history of radio. Then we get to overhear Fred get on someone's case during the break. So...
Where are
Kevin says, that's weird.
Oh, boy.
Did you get on someone's case? Oh, you lost your Buffalo words.
Were all our mics on during the break, though? That's a good question.
Did we say anything that could get us in trouble?
I don't know. I'm sure I did, but, you know, that's what I do.
So, any other changes that we need to bring up?
The other one was Brian Flores was a coaching assistant last year, and he's still a coaching assistant.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that qualifies as a change, but it was part of that release.
And some of the other coaches that we thought might get promoted to positional coach did not, like Brian Ferentz. And there was no Harold Nash announcement. Mike Wojcik mentioned in that release acknowledging.
Maybe there's more to come.
Could be more to come. Could be. Certainly is a possibility. Or Nash could just take the job and we'll never really know until we see him doing it.
Yeah, Nash.
But you know what? PFW in Progress should have tweeted out immediately after that release came out last week about the coaching. And Bill O'Brien promoted to offensive coordinator, and we could have all tweeted out, you know,
as expected. Right. As we discussed on our show many times.
Right.
Right. Harold Nash, though, wasn't just the assistant strength and conditioning coach. He also led up the Patriots player development program, which
is very highly thought of around the NFL.
Yeah, which won the league award twice, I believe, including this year. So,
and have won some award for, like, 5 straight years. Every year he's been here. I think for a couple of years it was like a financial award, and then it became the overall best.
Yeah. Now, for all we know, there's 32 awards, and every team wins one every year.
But they win the overall one.
Yeah. What are you being like that?
We don't know enough about that, you know. But we do know that he's recognized as being really good at that.
Right.
And so that's
about Sally Cynical.
You know, so that's another reason why, you know, he's a value to the organization, not just as a strength and conditioning coach.
Which is, Paul and I discussed that again on a tremendous roster report last Friday.
And if you missed it, shame on you.
Download it now.
It was stirring.
But maybe that's what he wants to do, Fred. Maybe he wouldn't want the head strength and conditioning coaching job. Maybe he likes the other aspects of that, financial and whatever else they do, future job training and that.
Although I can't imagine it's less time, though.
Which one?
Like, do you think that he has to, he's only,
I don't know.
Like, in terms of man hours, is more being the head guy? I mean, he's here all the time.
They're all here all the time.
Right.
In terms of planning and doing the workouts, maybe he just comes and observes workouts, whereas Wojcik is
has to organize them.
Planning them.
You know.
Doing all the computer work, getting them printed out for the player, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Somebody named Wayne writes in, you all try so hard to be witty and funny, but you're pathetic. I don't want to hear about your lunch or somebody's junk. Get with the program. Talk about the Pats. Boy, I'll tell you.
Except for that last part, I agree with the beginning.
You know. I like when people get mad.
I do too.
Obviously, a new listener.
Right, right. You know, I apologize for anyone who said, oh, Patriots talk, and they click on and they expect, you know, 2 hours straight of, you know, what are we going to do at outside linebacker? But, you know, over the course of the year, we talk about that a lot. You know, you kind of
over the course of this show, we've talked about the coaching moves and what they mean and how they may have unfolded.
Yeah,
a lot.
You kind of have to, you know, be a regular listener to appreciate us.
Talked about Logan Mankins.
You know,
Fred, check your GChat thing too. I don't think it lights up when I type to you anymore.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's the kind of stuff that I can imagine would irritate the newer listeners.
Well, my GChat just lit up, and
I know there's an Andyism there somewhere, but
well, he's busy eating; his mouth is full. I think I might have just found what I should do in order to get a point out. Is always say it while he's eating, while his mouth is full.
That's just what you do to me.
If I time it right,
you should always have cookies ready and, like, hand me one when you want to make a point.
Right.
I'll start eating.
Like he's a golden retriever.
Speaking of cookies, what do we got?
Like Mama Collins made for us. Over
chocolate
there.
Chip.
Nice. Awesome. Joe.
I haven't tasted
cranberries
yet,
so I'll wait before I comment.
Oh.
Joe in Florida is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Joe. Joe.
All that for nothing.
Wow.
Did he leave?
He'd been on for maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's not even close
well,
to a record.
Did he leave, or did you somehow screw it up?
No, he must have left.
He must have left.
Well, no, the phone line's still on and lit up.
So maybe he's still there.
Okay. Anyway, did you mention the word stole?
Yes.
Yeah.
He meant...
I was saying something else.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you saying? No.
You meant soul, right?
I'm not sure what you meant.
Yeah, Billy Mays.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, that's what you
And
meant.
He said stole, and then he immediately corrected himself and said soul. I don't even know what stole is.
A couple people, Russ from England, just for Andy's information, a stole is a Christian garment. I thought it would be common knowledge in America. The perception in England is that Christianity is a much bigger part of everyday life over there. Question about the pass
that's
rush.
That's not exactly true.
How do you spell that stole?
S-T-O-L-E.
Oh.
You're thinking O-L-L? Stole?
No. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
My mother's maiden name was Stowell. I didn't know if that was related.
With a W?
Yeah.
Okay. Question about the pass rush. Is the reason the Patriots don't get to the quarterback a lot, not at least partly because of the scheme? I know when the Patriots send guys, they tend not to get there. But isn't that because the outside linebackers are edge setters and not pass rushers? From my limited viewpoint, the line and the offensive outside linebackers seem more determined to fill space than rush the passer. Am I mistaken? Also, if Ninko has the most QB pressures in the league, then a pressure means dancing with the tackle 10 yards away.
Then Derek Burgess was a Hall of Fame pressurer.
No, I think the Patriots aren't as aggressive as the Steelers or the Ravens when it comes to rushing the passer.
There's no doubt.
You know?
But there are still guys who are assigned to rush the passer on every play, and they don't get there. That's the issue. It's not about blitzes and piling up sacks. It's... the guy on this play, whose job it is to pressure the quarterback, does he ever do that?
Right. On 3rd and 10, the outside linebacker's job isn't to set the edge on the run. I mean, that's part of an outside linebacker's responsibility, but not on every single play. And certainly there are passing situations where they're asked to get after the quarterback, and obviously the Patriots haven't done a good enough job at that the last couple of years.
And when James Sanders is sent on a blitz, it's not his job to slow up 2 yards before the fullback
and dance with him.
Oh, whoa.
I can be objective. One of my favorite players, pass rushing.
Is this a post-Valentine's thing? Did not go well yesterday?
No. I'm proving my objectivity. I see football. I don't see guys I like and dislike. I see the game.
No, you see guys you like and dislike.
Well, sometimes.
Don't even believe your own.
Tom Ashworth had a sack that he gave up once. I missed it. I blinked. I didn't write about
you
it.
You didn't miss his sack.
I'm just waiting for him to take a bite of this cookie and curse my mom out on
it's moist.
The air.
Not your mom. The cookie.
Oh. So wrong.
That really
that's
is.
That's so wrong. Very, very wrong.
So, not how's bad. The cookie?
She worked hard on those last night for you, Andy.
Wow. Does she listen to the show?
Not bad.
She hasn't. She's a school teacher.
Not
so
a real sweet
really
chocolate.
Listen,
more of a
download the podcast.
A little bit of a bitter
she's
chocolate.
Not that,
now.
She's not that into it.
Okay. Not a bad cookie.
She barely knows how to check email. Never mind. Download a podcast.
Wow. And she's a teacher?
But my dad listens.
Teaching our next generation.
Well, she's first grade, so you don't have to be that bright to teach first grade, let's be honest.
Listen to him.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you even listen
aren't
to him? Do you have a filter for yourself?
His own mother. Unbelievable.
What do you mean?
Some would argue that they need to be better teachers. To get him in their formative years.
She's the most senior teacher in all of Massachusetts, I think.
Yeah, really?
Some would argue
all
that,
of Massachusetts?
Like she's like you 39 wouldn't? Years
no,
now.
I would, wow. Yeah. That's great.
Why doesn't she retire? Don't you need, only
she,
need
she, she's at like that 80% plateau, but she doesn't know what to do with herself. So retire. I think she's going to teach one more year and then be done with it. Because that way my sister will be done college and probably the majority of the bills will be through the house.
Pass those over, Andy.
Casey in Milwaukee, who's formerly of Conway, New Hampshire. Writes in, says, I received my PFW weekly 2 days ago and devoured the whole paper in one sitting. Overall, a pretty solid effort. I especially like the year in review page with all of the covers.
Me too.
The addition of a story from the Philly News Guy talking about the layoffs of long-term employees in New York and other places was interesting and maybe a little scary, but I wanted to propose an either-or game and maybe spark some trade conversation.
We like the games.
First the game, and remember there is a right and wrong answer for these. Would you rather?
Rather? There is. Okay. It says definitively there is a right.
There is a right and wrong answer for these. Would you rather trade our Raiders first and Panthers second for a top 10 pick or Larry Fitzgerald?
Larry
Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
Correct.
Trade Mayo or Mankins?
Trade Mayo.
Mankins. That's a tough
Mankins. Mankins. That's easy for me.
Mankins is a better player, but not a more important position.
Yeah, right.
That's the
I'm
correct
torn.
Answer, Paul.
Exactly.
Perillo.
Mankins may be better at his position, but
he,
the position
he is but
isn't
not
it,
as important.
Right.
All right. You convince me.
Sign Mankins to a long-term deal or trade him for a second and a fifth?
Sign him to a
long-term deal.
Keep Woodhead or Green Ellis?
Woodhead.
Woodhead.
A tough one. Woodhead, I think, does more.
Yeah.
Woodhead.
Yeah.
Woodhead.
I also think he's better in his role.
Keep Sanders or Merriweather?
Oh,
Sanders.
My God.
That is the right answer. Don't even give me that look. Not even you could sell Merriweather.
I guess Valentine's Day was okay after all.
It's ridiculous.
I heart Jimmy.
Super Bowl in New England or London, England?
New England.
New England.
How cool would it be to cover a Super
to go back
Bowl
to
and
London,
sleep in your own bed, though, at night? Like, you go to a party and then you go home. You go to your press conference, then you go home. Like that'd be cool.
Actually, that's not as fun.
I'd be staying at the Renaissance.
The Renaissance.
You walk in the door and you hear, "Why'd you bother coming home?"
I've never heard that.
Is that just puberty over there?
What?
Let's think how much money it would save you on all the condos and stuff you have to buy for Super Bowls. You'd be right there.
That's true.
No, not anymore, Andy.
With the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl with a backup QB this year or lose in the Super Bowl the next two with Brady?
Win.
Yeah.
When do you ever want to lose a Super Bowl?
Win. Right. I don't care who the quarterback is. You want to win the Super Bowl.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter. I don't know anything about myself.
I don't use Facebook. I do use Twitter.
Facebook. But I hate both.
Yeah. I'll go Facebook. Because I've never sent a tweet, even though I have 7 followers.
Now, Paul, you have a
there's a value on Facebook. Not on Twitter.
No value for Twitter.
Not to me.
Okay. I don't
because
people
value
for either.
People
I agree.
People are abusing Twitter.
I agree, but
they're not using it for what it's intended.
Was it intended for, though? Because I don't know what it's intended for. I don't think it's...
Well,
there's
from a journalist...
Paul's right. There is no useful value to it.
From a journalistic perspective, it's basically like blogging only and sending out like a mass press release to all your followers.
It's a scroll. Okay, I'll give you
it's
that.
It's like a one-sentence press release.
It's a worldwide scroll.
Exactly. And it's that. That's how it should be used by journalistic types, but it's not. It's
right.
about self-promotion and...
Snobs like Sam Farmer saying that Lady Gaga is not relevant enough to invite to the Grammys. That's idiotic. That's the snobbery I'm talking about, Fred.
That's true.
You can like or dislike her, but don't say she's not relevant enough to be at the Grammys.
And every generation had, why are they there? You know, and they don't
get it.
Let's
just give a quick rundown. Daryl Revelle, if you want to get any work done today, do not go to at Kate Upton shower video on SI.com. I'm warning you.
Oh, that's good. Who's Kate Upton? That's a good use of Twitter.
Yeah. One of the models.
Sirius NFL Radio, Cardinals kicker and NFL rep Jay Feely is live. Brett Lockett, good morning, Twitter.
Oh, he's terrible.
EEI Sports, Logan Mankins, franchised by Patriots, but what's next? Greg Rosenthal, great resource. Evan Silva, Roto World contracts page, complete after a month and a half of grinding. ESPN AFC East podcast, Bills off-season questions.
Now that's riveting radio.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get
that or this.
You can't get
Bills off-season.
The off-season questions for the Bills or someone reading Twitter.
Darren Revelle, I am interviewing SI cover model there. What's her name? Irish
Irina
Shake.
Irina Shake.
Ivana Shake.
We could
Ivana
have
do more than shake them.
I don't know what I would do without having it all that up to the minute.
We could have 2 hours every day of Paul reading Twitter. That could be a new show.
Like that could be a new show.
Like when Two Gender used to do his
Twits with the
blog reading.
I won't say it.
Most objective, Mike Florio or Mike Reese?
Say again?
Well, Mike Florio.
Objective?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very objective.
You think so?
Yeah, he rips everybody.
That's true, but he has opinions.
You can be objective and have opinions.
Yes, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Okay.
But he has opinions.
You don't think Mike Reese is objective?
I think he's a pro-patriot.
Less knowledgeable, Bill Simmons or Dan Patrick? Less knowledgeable, Bill Simmons or Dan Patrick?
On what?
Whatever they're talking about. I don't know.
Dan Patrick, if you're talking about the NBA, Bill Simmons, if you're talking about anything else.
Bigger gas bag, Peter King or Michael Irving?
Michael Irvin is a gas bag.
Yeah. As for the trade suggestion.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. As for the trade suggestion, what do you think we could do with packaging Merriweather with our top second round draft pick? Would that be tantalizing?
Get a third.
Would that be tantalizing bait for a dominant pass rusher like DeMarcus Ware or Freeney? Or do you think that class of rusher demands?
What? If you don't make them take Merriweather, I think with that second round pick, you might be able to get a good pass rusher.
Well, I mean, are the Colts thinking Freeney's expensive and he's old, and maybe they would do it?
No, no chance.
Okay. Or do you think that class of rusher demands multiple picks, including a first rounder?
Yeah, multiple picks or a first rounder or something. That package is not enough.
By the way, if the Colts are thinking that, I like the way the Colts are thinking.
Sure.
The team this year has all the chips imaginable for obtaining the talent needed for an edge rusher or deep threat receiver. The outstanding question in my mind is whether or not that comes through the trade or draft. And don't forget to talk about Dirty Sanchez messing around with high school girls. Best news Pats fans could hope for in the first week of the offseason. So,
what would you rather have the proven commodity at? Outside linebacker, pass rusher, or wide receiver? If those are your
pass
two
rusher,
needs,
pass rusher.
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher, absolutely.
As long as they can also tackle.
I think that they could use a bigger play wide receiver to augment the offense, but I think the offense
is good
can be fine without it.
I think
they
you misunderstood the question.
Oh.
You're going to acquire both. Both are needs for you.
Okay.
One of them you can trade your a first and a third for a veteran. And one you're just going to take with a first-round pick. Do you want the proven commodity to be pass rusher or the receiver, and then the first-round pick to be the other?
Pass rusher. I want the proven commodity because they have to have that.
Yeah.
No, the thing I'm more thinking is a lot of pass rushers have come in. There have been 10-sack guys, rookies, lately. Arakpo, Matthews. Guys have come in and have immediate pass rushing impacts.
Absolutely.
Would you rather get Larry Fitzgerald and Robert Quinn or A.J. Green and...
That's a tough question.
Insert Tamba Ali.
Tamba Ali, yeah.
That's my question, basically.
Yeah, A.J. Green and Tamba Ali.
Now, just because Ali did it in this system? Because that is...
No, I'm just talking about a proven commodity at that position. listen, there's no sure thing.
Yeah.
No, I we all right. operate under the assumption there's just as good a chance as an established free agent coming here at wide receiver and busting out as there is at pass rusher and busting.
I agree with Paul's rationale, though. I think that
if we operate under that assumption, then I would rather have the pass rusher. If you're saying, well, Bill's system defensively is harder for a pass rusher to fit into, and therefore it might be easier for a wide receiver, then I could be swayed. But if you're going to say
it's Fitzgerald and Quinn.
If you're going to say it's, well, that's only because of
two players.
That's because of Quinn.
Well, both.
You're in love with Quinn. Yeah.
Well, Fitzgerald's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you don't think you can get a pass rusher as good as Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, if you got Tamba Ali.
I don't think Tamba Ali is comparable to Larry Fitzgerald.
I totally agree. And if you want to use that logic as well, then I'm with you. If you're going to say, well, I'll take the better established player, regardless of position, and Larry Fitzgerald certainly would be
but
a
I might have considered
player.
Peppers. If Peppers were
DeMarcus
available.
Ware?
Or DeMarcus Ware.
I would probably take DeMarcus Ware.
Ware. And then get a receiver.
Yeah. Again, I was kind of operating under everything is even, which Bill always tells me.
It's never even.
It's never even, Paul.
Interesting that Mike Lombardi, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this, listed three teams that might be good fits for Nnamdi Asamoah, and the three teams were the Packers, Patriots, and Dolphins.
Not the Jets, huh?
No, there was some discussion of the Jets, but he listed the three as those, and I would be absolutely
as a player,
stunned
as
if the Patriots signed.
Well, oh my God. Asamoah.
As a player, yeah, it'd be a great fit, but I don't think financially he would.
No, that's what I mean, though. Like that's like saying, you know, Tom Brady would be a great fit for all 31 other teams except for the Colts.
What you just said, Julius Peppers.
Right. I mean,
but, you know, let's face it, none of us really thought that was a realistic possibility.
Yeah,
well, Eric did.
Well, that was because of the Vic Carucci story, right?
You mean
last year? You still think there's a chance the Patriots get Peppers, right?
No. No, I've let that one go, Fred.
Gabe the Drunken.
Right as he closed the door in the dynasty.
Gabe the Drunken Patriot writes in, love the show, listen to you guys all the time. In fact, I'm in the doghouse for being too loyal. I tell my girlfriend I have to listen because it goes Patriots, sex, then breathing.
Your girlfriend's not all that hot, huh?
No.
If she were hotter, you'd have a new order there.
Gotta get a new girlfriend.
If Brooklyn Decker was bugging you, sex would come first.
We live down here in the core of the world, Tucson, Arizona, so good job on spreading the gospel. Anyway, I just want to know your thoughts on free agency. We need a number one wide receiver, a great pass rusher, and a running back. Why can't we give some draft choices away and maybe a bum like Banta Kane and get someone we know that can come in and make teams fear him? Just want to know who would be that guy. Who would you guys trade for? And P.S., did you hear Rex Ryan say they're going to win the Super Bowl again next year? The guy is a tool. Is it possible the reason why he loves feet so much is because he can't see his?
Really beautiful feet.
So, wow. But Fred doesn't like feet.
He did. He was at it again.
I did.
Rex Ryan.
I did.
Where did he say this?
I did hear he said that.
The best part of it was they were sitting front row at Madison Square Garden, him and his wife. I find that tremendous. Like all this scandal and videos and everything.
Well, he was down the Super Bowl with her.
And we'll just sit in the front row at Madison Square Garden. Screw you. I give him credit for that.
He was at events with his wife down at the Super Bowl.
I like it.
But, yeah, he was at it again saying they're going to do it they'll win it this year for sure. And, you know, that's fine. I guess you got to keep doing it. Because if you stop doing it, then that's kind of like giving up, right?
And people say, well, what's wrong? He doesn't really think his team's
right.
good enough now.
So now he's painted himself in a corner. He's got to say it every year.
But the corner's the AFC title game.
Do you mind if I
that's the corner he has to paint himself out of, basically.
Same old Jets back in the AFC title game. Well, yeah, you're right. You're going to lose.
So
another topic to bring up, actually two topics. Eric wanted to bring up, but he forgot. Pulled an Andy-like move.
What?
Debate Friday on Patriots.com, Fred.
Yeah, I have the numbers right here.
We posed the question of who are fans siding with, owners, players, or neither.
Mm-hmm.
And we used some of the arguments from Greg Aiello and George
Atala. George Atala.
To kind of paint the argument, because Paul didn't want to argue either side. He wussed out, so.
That's completely false.
That's right. Paul wasn't actually here when we did debate.
I was here. Wow.
I like getting him worked up. It's
wow.
So
you see what he just did there?
I do.
And right now, Eric will read you the numbers, but interestingly, fans are siding with the?
With the players. But it's very close. It's roughly a third for each one. Players are winning by almost, I'm going to round up these numbers, 36%. Owners coming in second at rounding up 34%, and neither taking up the rear 31%. That's rounding up.
Was that rounding up? Okay,
it's all rounding up.
I want to make sure.
So then, Paul's question though is, what if you didn't give him that neither option?
Paul's wrong because Paul thought neither was going to win.
Yeah, neither's losing.
Yeah, and initially it went players, neither.
See, I would have thought neither would have won.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to be close. I thought they would get like a two-thirds majority.
That's a pretty close vote.
Somehow I had this thought before we did this, but I wasn't here.
Yeah.
It was already in the process, and then you tried to change it.
I think it's interesting, at least
before it was done.
As far as this is concerned, almost about 70% of the people are taking a side, as opposed to I hate them all. You know, so that's interesting.
I think it's funny. If you really wanted to spin it, you could say, well, 70% of the people hate the owners. And the other side could say, well, 70% of the people hate the players, because if you claim the neither to your side and add it
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
The independents.
And you know they would do that.
Right.
As ugly as this argument is getting right now.
And take the Rhode Island ratings.
The other topic I wanted to bring up was, and I found this stunning, our friend Goose, Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News, who we'll be seeing in a little over a week at the Combine, and he'll be asking many, many questions, came out with his annual special teams rankings, which are very well thought of in the league.
Because he's the only one that does them.
Well, no, but some teams used to use them for like bonuses and actually use his rankings. Buffalo, I believe, was one of them, who, of course, had Bobby April as their special teams coach, who was also very well thought of. But the bottom line is the Patriots ranked numero uno in his special teams rankings. I just didn't see it on the field. I'm sorry. I thought they were good. I thought they were bad at times. I thought they were inconsistent. And I find that hard to believe that they were the best special teams unit in the National
They had a very hot start, too. And then came on a little bit at
the end
of the season.
What's his algorithm? How does he...
Oh, he's got... It's like 20-something categories in which points are awarded. And, I mean, I don't know the algorithm. We'll have to have a summit to talk about that.
Another inside joke.
That got a look.
And an eyebrow raise.
I'm going to have
a pre-summit meeting, too.
What do you call those? Those don't have a better name than just pre-summit? It
means Andy's fired.
Hey, but it's a touchy subject around here.
And Pro Football Focus came out with their own rankings. I saw it about had the Patriots eighth. So regardless of who's doing the algorithms, they put them
near the top third of the league. Yeah.
Which I don't know. It didn't seem that good to me.
Eighth I can see.
Well, again,
because
we're very close. We see all the warts. What about these other teams? If we are as close to them, would, you know.
That I can't answer because I don't break down special
teams.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not ranking the Patriots against perfect special teams. We're ranking them against other teams in the league. And how did they perform?
It's hard to tell me it was a down year for special teams.
It could be. It could be. Who knows? You know?
Would it surprise you if you knew that Julian Edelman was one of the top punt returners in the league?
No, because I knew that.
No.
If you didn't know that.
Things, but I always know these things. Sorry. I'm always ahead of you.
Well, I think the Patriots special teams were wildly inconsistent last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think statistically they look a lot better than they are because
on
their upswings they had 100-yard returns.
But you have all the numbers.
They had 200-yard kick returns and 100-yard punt returns.
That really sways the numbers. 12 for Graham on kicks, and you had Gostkowski with all his touchbacks, but even Gostkowski's telling me at the time, don't buy it. It's wind. It's situational. Like, that's
right.
My point is, the numbers may say one thing. My eye didn't tell me they were the best special teams.
And the kick
football.
Coverage, I think.
And don't forget the two missed extra points.
The kick coverage was I thought, real spotty, but I think they only allowed one really big play.
But, you know.
On the whole year. But they consistently allowed the other team to get over the 30-yard line.
Andy, you know, you say my eye says they weren't the best special teams in the league, but you don't know what the other teams were.
Yeah, but I don't even think they were anywhere near as good as they've been in past years.
That doesn't matter.
I know, and I gave you the point that maybe it was a down year for special teams.
Right.
Just like it was a down year in general for the league.
Right. I mean, if the leading rusher in the league had 1,200 yards, that year he was the leading rusher, but compared to other years, he, you know, wouldn't be that good.
Touche.
Jim from Eastern Michigan University says, "Hi, Derek." I think he means Kevin. "It's your mother. I hope you and your friends are enjoying your cookies today. Even though I'm not technologically savvy, I can still operate the oven that cooked your tasty dessert today, raise you through 21 years of your life, currently allow you to sleep in my basement, and play video games when you're not at work, and allow your friends Freddy to watch endless amounts of Star Wars on weekends on the big screen. I hope you have a great day at work, honey."
I don't even like Star Wars.
I don't care. It's funny that they don't know your name.
Hey, or my age.
Well, you are living in the basement, right?
Or what time he gets to work.
I just signed a lease. I'm living in Newton.
Where did you sleep last night?
Your mother made you sign a lease?
No, I just...
Where did you sleep last night?
in my room at home.
Thank you. No further questions.
But no, but I.
So they haven't even gotten rid of your room? Was it the same room you've had all along? They didn't put in a hot tub when you went to college?
No.
So you just signed a lease? Is this a year lease?
It's a 14-month.
Oh, you're really counting on this job, huh?
No,
I wouldn't if I were you.
Really going bald there, aren't
you? Just so you know, I'm taking the under on all of us being here in 6 months. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well,
so.
No, you oh, said... You said wait.
Fred will be fine.
Now you're backpedaling.
Kirschenbaum is fine over there.
You said for me it was 11 months from the start, and we're almost at 7, so I only have like 4 more to go.
This lockout's going to help me win that bet.
Be typical Andy Luck.
That would be.
Did you guys hear about Don Yee, who was Tom Brady's agent's idea for a compromise for the 18-game schedule?
Yeah, can someone explain it to me?
Idiotic.
Well, you know, is it really?
Yes.
Well, here's his idea. Obviously, the case against 18 games by the players is it's going to lead to more injuries, you know, saved. And he's saying, okay, basically, in an 18-game schedule, every player can only play in 16 games. Doesn't matter when they happen.
I understood it then. I thought I missed something.
Yeah.
So we're having games where Peyton Manning and Tom Brady aren't playing.
Aren't playing, yeah. Yeah, fans are going to love that.
What was the word you used, Paul?
Idiotic.
I agree. No further questions.
And this is a guy who, and I actually heard Tom Curran talking about this yesterday, and he was very
preseason games aren't fun to go to, but
Patriots
get
two of them
matchup with no Brady and Manning.
Let's have two of them that count.
Oh yeah.
No one wants to go to a preseason game to begin with, but let's have two preseason
games that count. Terrible.
Foolish.
I don't know.
Terrible. Now I know why he only has one client.
It kind of intrigues me because in that game that Brady doesn't play, that doesn't mean the other starters aren't playing. So that's your game that maybe the team gets even more up for. And if you win that game, you're golden.
But Fred, I'm a fan. That's what I want. I want the thrill of competition that I shell out $400 for to send my kid to go see Brian Hoyer pull an upset for the ages.
I'm a season ticket holder and I'm getting screwed out of what I paid for. I'm getting screwed
now
out of
the
product that I wanted to come
and
see.
Now you know, August next to it, there's a good chance it's a crap ass game.
Right.
And but you're not going to see who you want to see. It could say anything from September to early January, and you could show up and DNPCD, Tom Brady.
What if it's cumulative? So,
I just got a headache.
I was going to say, you know, take the number of quarters times 4 times 16. You can only play in that many quarters. So, you could appear in every game, but maybe you have to take a quarter out here.
Who's
going to
monitor all?
I don't know.
Sorry. You got to call a timeout and get Brady off the field.
That's too much like Pop Warner.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's a
the bottom line
idea.
Is, and somebody from ESPN, Andy and I were talking about this, wrote a story about it. They finally brought up the point that Goodell keeps making about he keeps hearing from fans and season ticket holders who want an 18-game season, and that's not what they're saying. The fans are saying they don't like having to pay full price for preseason games. That doesn't equal we want an 18-game regular season.
Right.
It means we don't want to pay full price for crappy preseason games. So lower the price of those games is what they're
saying.
And
Goodell just won't come out and say, we have 20, you know, or each team has 10 full-priced events. We can't go below that. So if we get rid of two preseason games, we have to come up with that income somewhere else. And he just won't say that.
Right.
I still get back to my thing. I don't understand why they don't just keep the season ticket price the same, slap a face value of $30 on those preseason tickets, raise the others by $2 a game or whatever you need to get to make up the difference, and no one has to look at the ticket for a preseason game that has an ugly big number on it. They don't pay any more money. That season ticket holder whose pens is $2,000.
Like you said, it's psychological.
It's just psychological.
Exactly.
And then they give them to their mailman. Their mailman goes. He buys his 3 beers and 2 hot dogs. Mm-hmm. The owners get their money.
In other words,
fix the prices of the regular season games so you're covering.
Right.
Right. But. I don't know. I think all it would take is for one, you know, fans to see through that and start.
Well, of course, fans would see through
that.
But you can justify increasing your season ticket prices if you're guaranteeing that you're going to have a good product on the field in those 16 games. I think fans would pay the extra $2 or $3, or not pay the extra, but be willing to make that. Deferment, if you will, of the payments, if they're going towards meaningful games where your starters aren't being told to sit out because of some ridiculous rule.
But what's the difference? See, I don't think many people would be fooled by that.
Well, why are they fooled by it now?
Because
they're fooled in the other direction.
Because they have
no
choice.
They're like, oh my god, I pay.
But Paul,
they're going to keep buying them because that's what they want to do.
But Paul, here's the thing: they don't necessarily want to go to those games.
They don't have to. You want to let me finish first?
Go ahead.
So it would be easier for me to go to my mailman or my banker and say, hey, I know you wanted to go to a game. All I have is this preseason game. It's only $30 or $25 as opposed to it's $150 for parking and all this other stuff. You're going to be able to get rid of those tickets a lot easier.
I guess in theory, but I don't see why. I mean, people don't want to go to preseason games.
See, I don't even care about get rid of them easier.
You're paying the same amount of money for your 10 tickets.
I eat $400 worth of tickets on some Saturday night in August. Okay, so pretend it's not $400. You don't eat it. You eat the season ticket price. You pay your whatever X is amount. You write a check in March.
I understand your point. I just think that most people aren't going to be deceived into thinking, instead of eating $400 of preseason games, I'm now paying 10% more for the 8 regular season games that I was. I'm really still eating the money. It's the same.
But
just because I'm going to the regular season games, I'm paying more for them.
But you really want to go. So I don't know why the $5 difference matters to you either
way. So what's the difference if I eat the preseason games that are costing me less now, or if I'm paying more for the games that I want to go to?
There is none.
It's costing me the same amount of money.
That's my argument.
So I'm not going
to
really
be
fooled by that.
To be a season ticket holder, there's an X amount of dollars you have to spend.
And they're going
to
spend it. Here's the cost. And they're going to spend it regardless of what you do.
So if you want to be a season ticket holder, you can write whatever price you want on that preseason ticket. I'm charging you, I don't even know what season tickets cost. $3,000.
Yeah, but on the year that they implement that, and every ticket gets a 10% increase for the regular season, and preseason gets
decreased
by 50%.
And you write the exact same check you wrote the previous year.
No, you're going to write.
No, it's going to be higher.
It's higher.
No, it isn't.
No.
Because you're subtracting money from how much you're charging per ticket in the preseason and adding it to the regular season. The total amount.
Right.
The check for $3,300 is the same.
But they're paying and they don't like it, so you're not changing it.
Okay, so then don't be a season ticket holder. Go away.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Do you want to be a season ticket holder?
But they're trying to prevent that from happening.
Because all I ever hear is, I eat these $150 preseason tickets.
But they pay
them anyway. Well, you don't really.
No, but... The thing is, a lot of them complain that they can't resell the season tickets. I mean, the preseason tickets.
But they would never be able to resell them because people don't want to go.
But I think people would be willing to say, "Yeah, what the hell? It's only a few extra bucks."
But you could do that now.
I think there'd be fewer people there.
Your preseason tickets for half.
People go now only because of how much money it costs, and they can't do what Andy's talking about.
Right, Fred. No,
I think if you made them $30 and that's all they cost, no one would go. Because people wouldn't look at it as a financial loss.
I think if you had a lot of tickets like that, families would go. You might have to change it. You might have to make them Saturday afternoon games. But I think that's what go to preseason and other sports is people, they turn it into, I can take the family and
that would be family friendly. They ain't going to do that.
It's like training camp.
I don't know if they're not going to do that. I mean, if they make all the tickets $30 or $25.
How many day preseason games were there in the NFL last year?
I
don't think there was a single one.
I think they were all prime time.
No, but if it's more valuable to them,
if the league is playing
to 60% capacity in the preseason, I don't know what the number is. Whatever the number is, you see a lot of empty seats because people just don't go.
Certainly around the league,
especially. If you could fill those seats with families of four that are now going to buy the hot dogs and the concessions, if you show them a number that goes, ooh, we can still make a little money on this. Because I can't imagine they're making a ton from
The only solution is to not make the season ticket holder buy the preseason games. That's the only way it's anything.
But now you're with
the
owners. Now they're losing out on that event.
Yeah, see, and Andy, I know what you're saying, but the year that they implement this, I'm going to get that season ticket booklet, and I'm going to say, oh, they decreased my preseason by 50%, but they raised every one of my regular season by 10%.
Right.
They're still screwing me.
But they're not. You're writing the same check. If you still feel screwed, then maybe you don't really understand how it's working.
But you feel like you're getting screwed now.
Right, and you're going to feel like you're getting screwed then. The bottom line is it's the same amount of money. How can you be screwed all the time?
You haven't added value to the dollar that I'm paying. I'm still paying the same amount of money for the same type of games. Games haven't changed. Two preseason, 10 regular season. Eight regular season. Nothing has changed. I'm paying the same amount of money. So how has that helped the situation?
You're not getting screwed on those preseason. Fred, every season ticket holder you see quoted
eat $289 a game.
But my regular season just went up.
Who cares?
Well, I think people that are writing the checks.
What if you said prices are guaranteed not to go up for 10 years? Or whatever number of
after that first bump. Okay, now we're talking.
I'm off that.
But can you make that guarantee? I don't know.
I totally agree that would work, but that's fantasy world. They're not going to play the games during the day.
So we're dropping the prices.
And they're not going to guarantee.
I don't know why you couldn't play Saturday.
Andy, games. I'm with you. I have no idea why
maybe
either.
Maybe collegiately you can't.
But they've decided.
Maybe you're competing with the colleges.
Well, that is
they've,
true.
They've decided they can't do that. Now, in the Belichick era, there's been afternoon preseason
Do they
games.
Make money off of, I mean, a ton of money off of Channel 5 airing Thursday night preseason games?
Yeah, when the
four,
teams produce
sorry.
It?
They actually do. I mean, we have great ratings.
Yeah, and the teams Here. Produce their own
preseason.
Yeah,
but
preseason.
Does that make a ton of money? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah, it all does? Those ad spots, absolutely.
You know this for sure. Or you just assume.
No, I mean, they
Kraft
wouldn't.
Sports produces the.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good. Good. What are you doing? You're chewing in there. Okay.
You got a dip in your mouth.
Okay. That's dip.
No, but no, they do make the teams make decent money, and you know that's the one time of the year during a game when the teams can control some in-house, you know, spots. Mm-hmm. You know, when the game's on CBS, the Patriots don't have any of those spots. We can't.
Yeah, do they get anything from that? I was just going to ask
no,
that question.
No, we get nothing.
For what?
We get nothing in-game for the CBS. The only thing we get is in one in-game radio spot on 98.5. That's all we get.
No, that's not my question.
No, but TV.
Do we get any revenue from being on national television in the preseason?
When it's on NFL Network, you mean?
No, if it's on CBS or Fox.
Oh, I think that's probably split.
Is there a preseason toll that, you know, there's eight games, the teams that are involved that particular year split?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would assume that's part of the overall TV contract.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think you'd get any more. Okay, so Saturday's out. Why couldn't you play Sunday at 1 and spin it to fans, get ready for the regular season by
and they've
playing
done
Sunday
that.
At 1?
The first year of Belichick, I believe we played Tampa Bay on a Sunday at 1 in a preseason game.
Really?
Then
you can get families to
at
come.
At Old Foxborough Stadium.
Now instead of it costing them $500, it can cost them, you know, $150 or $200 for a family of four to come and get a hot dog and
And I
see
think
a game.
If you do that, you cut those. If you did those two moves at the same time, you don't make the season ticket holder buy the preseason games, but you lower the price of those preseason games and put them on in a family-friendly hour, I believe that you will have a good chance to get families like Andy's talking about in the stands, and maybe you won't make quite as much money. But you'll find a way to please more people. And maybe in the long run, the financial hit that you take initially and weighs itself out in the end.
And
if you can do it like Andy just explained
right.
it, you can make a lot more money in other ways than just ticket revenue.
And for a team like the Patriots that control its own pro shop and has it on premises, you know, getting a new crowd in here, every family, they're going to have to buy their kids something in the pro shop.
Yep.
You can't go to one game a year and not buy your kids something.
Right.
So maybe, you know.
Andy's idea, I think, would work. You would definitely lose money initially if you're going to say it's $30 for a ticket now instead of $120. And, you know, and now instead of being guaranteed of my 45, 50,000 season ticket holders buying those, I have to roll the dice and put them in Ticketmaster and whatnot and hope that I can sell them. I think that you will sell a lot of those tickets to people like you're describing that haven't been here very often, if at all, and your concessions will go up from what they would on a Thursday night
Maybe
at 7
beer,
o'clock.
Maybe not beer, but the others.
But concessions.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, everything is the same.
It's all expensive.
Priced. Yeah. It's all expensive.
I don't know if you knew, though, Paul. It's all about beer.
I was just going to say, everything is ridiculously overpriced, but...
That's Paul Perillo. I mean, once we start layoffs,
that's
Paul Perillo.
But that's every stadium. That's not.
What about?
That's not
true.
What
that's
about
parking?
Reduced to here.
What about parking? Parking prices.
Parking prices are what they are. That's a fixed cost. See, my back on board, $40.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure every state
40.
I was going to say
every stadium has a different arrangement. But you know, here you got to pay the state tax. You got to pay the town of Foxborough.
Here's where I sanitize. I want no red tape.
If you have the You know, assuming you have close to the same amount of fans, you need the same amount of security, parking people, you know, so you're still paying, your operating costs don't go down.
Right.
You know, so like Paul said, you'd have to take a hit.
You
got to
take a hit, but you might be better off 5 years down the road.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, this family talks about it, and they tell this, and then, you know what, I'm going to look into that next year, because my 8-year-old and 10-year-old, they would love to go to a game, but I don't dare take them at night.
And they're only a decade away from drinking age, so they'll be drinking beer sooner or later.
How do I get there on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock? I mean, think about that. We're always here at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning for, you know, Kevin, 4 o'clock in the morning. Think about trying to drive here at 5 o'clock in rush hour. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how many people get here
as
they do.
You'd have to take time off. You'd have to leave work early, do whatever, pick the kids up
early.
Well,
you plan ahead for it. Yeah, I mean...
But
I can remember when I was a kid, my dad would take the day off from work and we'd go to see the.
But not everybody can do that.
The baseball game.
If it's Sunday at 1, most people can go.
Once a year you can, you know.
But it might be
But yeah, the more, but it might
easier
be worth
you make
it,
for families, the more likely they are to do it.
And you could do it on a Saturday. I mean, it's August. This college games aren't, you're not really fighting college games yet.
Right.
It's a problem. It really is. I mean, baseball's got the ultimate setup because, you know, they do, it's a bunch of games. I don't know how many exhibition games they play.
Well, way too many.
Like, what is it, 20, 30?
Like 30.
Yeah.
30 games. 30. But it's, what, $10 to get in? It's in warm, you know.
More than that.
Yeah, is it really?
It's gone up significantly.
It's insane.
Really?
It's insane. This is why I'm saying it's not limited to here. It's ridiculously out of control everywhere.
Spring training games are
across
expensive?
The board. Oh, God.
But it's more.
Red Sox especially.
But it's more intimate. You know, you're close to the, you know, it's a nice take.
It's like going to McCoy.
You don't go down. You're not down there. Some people are down there just for
it's
that.
It's a vacation.
You're,
too.
In Florida, and so it's nice. Football, it's tough because you got to have the practice. You got to have live, full speed practice to get ready. In order to do that, it's you know
what would be good
every
did,
game is an event.
If they did
you know?
Football like baseball. And like after the
guys
first,
are running in
yeah,
the field.
After the first series, like Brady comes out in the first offensive line and just running their sprints down the end, you know, before they go in locker room.
That would be funny.
That would be hilarious.
Baseball is, I mean, football is just such a more involved event to put on than a baseball game.
How did we involve this talk?
We talk about Don Yee's.
Oh, bad idea.
And Don Yee evidently is very critical of the media and guys doing their homework and messing things up and screwing things up and. Curran, he says, I can't tell you that I've ever had a conversation with Don Yee that hasn't involved him, you know, chastising me over something that, you know, was incorrect or ripping somebody else in the media to me, complaining about what someone else wrote.
He goes, I wonder he works so well with this team.
And he goes, and this is what he comes out with for a solution. We want to have Brady and Manning, Patriots, Colts, both guys on the sideline. That's great. That's a great idea, Don. He was like,
I mean,
all
just
over
think
him.
About it. Like, The primetime games, Sunday night football. Okay, well, they've picked X game, but that coach decided to sit his three star players that week.
That's
so now
true.
You have more issues there.
It is.
And you know that's what Belichick would do intentionally.
I don't know that, Paul. What? That's Paul Perillo.
Sean in Canada, a couple of comments on the 18. I hate Brady's agent idea of only letting each player play 16 games because that doesn't allow you to put your best player in the field each week. Which fans want to see and what the franchise want to do. As a fan, I want to see the best players out there every week. And if I buy tickets to a game and they decide to sit Brady, I'd be angry.
Oh. Plus, imagine the disrespect card if you're the other team,
right?
And they choose to sit Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, and Tom Brady this week because you're
that's
so beatable.
Of motivation,
right? Just think of all the issues.
But
that
I don't
would
even care. Like, you know,
but the inactive list would become an event.
Yeah.
It would. Today's inactive list sponsored right. by.
Well, it's like know? They were saying yesterday. You know. Like, I guess part of it, Don Yee, is like, it would set talk radio aflutter or something, you know, and they were saying, as soon as the schedule comes out, everybody would say, well, I think that they should sit them out against the Rams and, you know, and this team, you know. That's stupid.
It's a bad, it's bad, stupid. Bad idea.
And the well, way maybe
the just because it would create talk doesn't mean it's good.
Maybe. Manning could miss, like, the last four games of every season because the two, because they're always undefeated
exactly.
that they sit, and then the other two because
the
they have to.
Suck. Maybe, though, they say, you know, with the way that we're, no, with the way that we're protecting quarterbacks these days, they're the one position that has to play all 18 games.
Well, they're the money position.
It doesn't make it much better. I mean, that would be better, but it doesn't make it much better for
no.
me.
James writes in, or Joe writes in,
James, Joe.
How do you mistake James and Joe?
It's not Joseph. About X's and O's. It's about Jimmy's and Joe's.
Whoa. It's James or Joseph?
Joseph.
But why is it James, then?
Because right above that word was, right above Joseph was the word game.
So you read the two together.
No, yeah, that's
the inner workings of Fred Kirsch.
Regarding the proposed 18-game schedule, I've heard suggestions that to mitigate some of these players' concerns regarding injuries, some of these are the league would expand the roster, expand the number of players on the game day roster, and put a limit on the number of game snaps a player could play during the season. What do you think of each of these suggestions?
I think you'll have to do some form of the first couple with expanded rosters, more people. I don't see limiting snaps.
The snaps doesn't work, but
monitoring.
The other two, I think, are going to happen if the – enhanced schedule.
And I don't even think just injury-wise. I think it has to happen because of player development-wise. You don't have a chance to play them as much in the preseason. You're going to have to take some chances on guys on the bottom of the roster that need time to sit around, develop, whatever. I think you're going to have to expand that some. Or maybe change practice squad rules and eligibilities. That's why it's more than just 18 or not 18. It's
Oh, yeah.
Everything that goes with it.
Strippers reminds me I need to promote that Devin McCourty will be at the Hall at Patriot Place tonight, presented by Raytheon. Speaking engagement. Speaker
he was
series.
On his way up here earlier. He tweeted it.
So you go to the Hall at PatriotPlace.com. You can get the info. I think it's $25 to get in. It's only 150 people, so it's a very intimate setting.
Better value than a preseason game.
And it's at the Hall. I think it starts at 6:30, but it might be a little later. Hall at PatriotPlace.com. Devin McCourty, part of the Hall Speaker Series.
That's one Hall.
Paul, are you going to do one of those Speaker Series?
I don't think anybody's paying 25 beans to come listen to me.
They'd rather pay for preseason. TG and NJ.
See, that proves yet again, anything he says in that voice will be funny, no matter how dumb the statement is.
TG and NJ, with all the 18-game discussions going on, my question is, what happened when the NFL switched from 14 to 16? Was it as much as a big deal back then? This is probably a question for Paulie and Fred. Andy is unaware of anything that happened before 1985, and I'm not sure if Squidward was there today. So well,
Squidward is here.
Have you not been listening to the show?
Yeah, he has. That's the point.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
But Let Me Finish was good. But
they didn't make a big deal about it.
I don't remember it being a big deal. It was the same thing. They eliminated two preseason games and...
But they weren't
and made them regular season.
Yeah,
because they used to play six preseason and
could you imagine?
And 14 regular, and they went from to 4 and 16. Yeah. I don't.
But
remember
they weren't
it.
In the middle of a CBA at the time.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I don't remember it being a huge deal either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did it have anything to do with the? What was it 4 years later they had a strike? Was there any ramifications?
It was 4 years later. I don't think it had to do with that, but.
Because I mean, what do they do with the money?
I don't know.
Did players make more money when they two more games or just divide it differently?
I think they
making
did.
Huge
I
sums back the then. Though.
I would think they had to have, yeah.
I wouldn't assume that.
Yeah, that's maybe true. Maybe that is one of the factors. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Mike in Rhode Island says, my brother and I have season tickets. I'm fine with the pricing where it's at right now. Every year we donate four tickets, two tickets times two games, to charity, raffles, etc., and get to write off the full face value on our taxes.
You can write that off? Son of a!
You didn't know that?
I never have. I've given plenty away to charity, but I guess
charity
you can't really write them off.
That reminds me,
right?
I need to remind my account.
We pay for them.
Yeah, we get
taxes.
Oh,
we pay for them.
Oh,
we're
so
taxed on.
So I could.
Yes, we're taxed on.
Oh yeah.
Their
what do you get for that?
Yep.
I don't know. It's my phone ringing.
They just deduct that amount or whatever.
Whatever the amount of
deduction.
The tickets.
The 100.
Because I donate at least one set, usually two every year.
Me too.
To
it
charity.
Makes me feel better about
do
that
you,
number.
Do you write that off?
No. Well, sort of.
Oh.
My guy writes down a number I donate to charity every year.
He just slides
it's
it to you.
It's a vague number.
Slides it to you on a piece
pretty
of paper.
Pretty much.
And he's a big philanthropist.
Yeah, oh yeah. I give to everybody.
Any of those.
More address labels than you know what to do with.
Any
you
youth sports organization.
Once, they just keep coming.
Right? Any youth sports organization, they got me. Because I just remember all those times standing out there selling whatever, chances
candy
for
bars.
Raffles, candy bars,
about a couple of raffles
bumper stickers,
yeah,
all that crap.
And
it's so hard. It's so hard to sell that stuff. So anytime I see somebody, holding the can out or whatever.
Well, you know what they do now? They make the parents buy them, and then
the parents have to get the money back.
If they don't, well, that's your problem.
You have the opportunity to make your money back if you sell it.
Well, that's what I would always do. They give you the booklet of tickets to sell. I just buy the booklet and say,
well,
the hell with it.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised with you.
You're rich.
For people like Andy, Eric, and myself, I mean, that would
have had to
been
had
tough.
To go
I would have gone without barbecue chips for a couple of months.
By the way, maybe if you made the kids sell those, he would be able to shovel the driveway, too. There's a certain foundation.
Wayne in Newport says, Jake Steele in the Airheads, if the Patriots should set up a nonprofit organization to accept season ticket holders donating their preseason tickets. These tickets would then be distributed to the needy who can't afford game tickets but would be happy to attend a free preseason game. I don't have a solution for the parking fees unless Kraft and family want to cover that expense or some other organization. It gives a tax write-off for the season ticket holders' ability for the needy to attend a pro football game. Sounds like a win-win to me.
I don't want to be Mr. Realist or Debbie Downer here, but if you're from the team perspective and 30,000 season ticket holders donated
to
poor kids.
You have to redistribute that?
Not only that.
No, they ain't buying
if they're
the stuff.
Poor, they're not buying a Tom Brady jersey on the way out. They're not buying a
good
bunch
point.
Of hot dogs.
Good point.
They're poor.
Right.
So that doesn't really work from the owner's pocket side.
Bring them to training camp.
Right.
We do Ref that. Almost got in his way.
Well, I think training camp is still, prior to a regular season game, training camp is a way better
That's a great opportunity. You talked about up close, the autograph setting.
Right.
Yep. You talked about with spring training.
Right.
That's what you get here on training camp.
Right. Yeah. That is an event.
That, to me, is something that...
That's the best value that the Patriots have, is that training camp.
Of course.
And, aside from Patriots football week.
Well, yeah.
1-800-494-PATS.
But, I mean, if you want to, you know, you can't get any closer to the team.
And you can't get any other chance for autographs unless you happen to go to an autograph show where you have to pay to get in.
Right.
Here, you're guaranteed autographs.
You're guaranteed autographs.
The opportunity.
Somebody
not necessarily the one you want, but you're guaranteed
autographs.
If
you really try, you're virtually guaranteed an autograph. It might be Quinn Ojanaka.
Yeah, you're not going to get Brady.
Sorry, Fred just saw a cool new shower head, and he lost total
focus. You're not going to get Brady every day, but you're going to get somebody every day.
That's a hand shower?
It's one of those hand jobs.
What?
Let's see. Andrew wants to know, what would this 18-game thing and making only players play only 16 do to fantasy football? Well, that would kind of screw things up, wouldn't it?
I'm sure that's at the top of the priority list.
But it would screw up real football.
I'm sure the commissioner is taking that into consideration.
I'm sure the commissioner laughed. I would hope he laughed when he heard that idea.
I hope it never got to him.
But he's a man of the people.
Well, you know, Don Yee is a people?
Commish.
Look, yeah, I know. He's a man of the people, but Don Yee is not exactly the people.
But it was out there in like regular media, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, we laugh at Don Yee, but I think they should all be thinking of things. I mean, let's put some. I'm sure there's got to be solutions to all these problems.
Oh, there are.
You know?
But it involves compromise by somebody.
But some might be more palatable than others, and I think we need to get more people thinking instead of suing and posturing and
calling Peyton Manning boy. We need to get people at the bargaining table.
That's another thing we need to talk about. What?
We need to get people at the bargaining table and not storming out. And,
but the people at the bargaining table need to honestly want to bargain.
Yes.
You know?
Are you saying that one side doesn't?
I think maybe both sides don't. I don't know. I mean, both sides have accused the other of not really wanting to do this.
I think there's something to be said for that. I think the players are coming off as the good guys right now because of Jerry Richardson and the comments he made.
Well, explain that because a lot of people may not know.
There's a lot of stories out there that in the last meeting, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and some other players were there. And at one point, Manning was talking and asking about the second $1 billion give back, essentially. And Richardson kind of went off on him and asked him if he needed to explain a revenue chart or whatever.
Yeah.
And boy,
called him son
and boy, like very disrespectful.
Do you understand how to read this, boy?
And Sean Morey, former Patriot, a Brown guy that Eric wanted to be, brought up concussions and player safety. And he said along the lines of, you play in this bleeping league 3 years, you make enough bleeping money to own your own team or whatever to Sean Morey.
Not if you're Sean Morey.
No.
Not if you're anybody.
You can't buy a team
with $600,000 or whatever you're left with. And I think Richardson believes you can because that's how he made his money. He played in the league like 1 year, bought a franchise shop or something 50 years ago, parlayed it all into an empire, and now he's an owner. But as Paul says, there was a little luck involved there. He might be a good business.
And it was a long time ago took you a little bit farther.
But
you
the know, bigger
that,
issue
that's a,
is...
That's a pretty fortunate path to take.
Right.
Richardson was very argumentative and just condescending. And, you know, people have written that he wants to break the union and all that stuff. And that may be true, but that wasn't the time for that type of attitude. It was supposed to be a bargaining and a discussion. But it's been written that other owners and the commissioner were uncomfortable and some were, you know, cringing and saying maybe we need to take a break right now, a recess. But my point is they're being painted in that light because of Richardson and his comments. The players, I think, are doing a pretty good job right now with PR, is coming off as, oh, he yelled at me and he was mean to me and disrespectful. I'm not so sure there's not something, too, they don't want a deal right now either. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We haven't taken one in quite a while. We'll be right back with more of your emails and phone calls.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in progress.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast.
Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker. Yeah, let's go again. To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God. It's code. You should watch Law & Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. We're back. And now I just remember, there's always a method to Kevin's madness. He's like, should we take a break?
Well, you said you wanted to take a top of the hour break.
I know, but I thought maybe he was like thinking of us, like, you know, maybe we need a break because we did.
The show
was open. That's okay.
Which didn't get heard the first time.
So, Kevin's open.
We sure could have heard the second.
Kevin, that's a button-down collar. You're not buttoning it.
That's you a button-down that? Shirt, and you're not buttoning yours either.
Good, Eric. Good.
You look like the Flying Nun.
You look like the hairy Fred.
You want me to do the
no,
Fred
no,
Ferris,
no,
just open the
no,
drapes a little?
No.
Keep it close.
You got a problem with that?
Yes.
What?
Makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, button up, please.
Looks like there's a squirrel down there.
It's offensive.
It's offensive. Man's chest
man's,
hair.
Man.
Offensive.
You didn't say it right,
obviously,
Fred.
You haven't been watching CNN for the last 2 weeks. That's all you've seen.
No, I haven't.
What, from Egypt?
All the guys in Egypt.
Fred just offended an entire country.
That's all right. It's their
one
style.
One that's a little bit unsettled right now.
It's their style. Jim from the Michigan, little breaking news. The Eagles have tagged Mike Vick.
Yesterday.
And he wants to know, does this mean Cobb is a shoe-in as the Arizona Cardinals' next quarterback?
No.
And probably be playing somewhere else. I don't know if it's necessary.
I'm not
Arizona.
Sure he's going to be playing somewhere else.
Especially if, as we talked about at the very start of the show, we end up getting this thing resolved in September. I think that significantly lessens the trade market for anybody.
Yeah, and especially a quarterback.
Well, but
you can't trade for him until a day before the season. You're not going to trade for him a day before the season.
I think there's a very good chance that both of those guys are Philadelphia Eagles, CBA resolution or not.
But if a team is desperate enough at the quarterback position and makes Philly an offer that's outrageous.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
Sam in Chicago.
He's available. I wouldn't think there's any question on that, but I think there's a really good chance that both are on the Eagles this year.
But he can't be traded yet, right? He can't be traded until there's a new CBA. So,
right.
For a quarterback, that's a major hang-up.
Available.
I mean, if you're going to hand the guy a playbook and say, oh, by the way, we got a game on Sunday or 2 weeks from Sunday, learn the offense.
What do you think if you were Andy Reid or Jeffrey Lurie, owner of the team,
Lurie.
What would your price be for Kevin Cobb?
He was probably a first round pick for me.
He was drafted. Was he a first round pick?
No, second, I believe.
Who?
So you'd want a first round pick for Cobb?
Second round.
He was a second round.
Paul would take a second round.
No, he was a second round.
What would you take? What would your price be?
First round pick.
You would want a
starting caliber NFL quarterback.
Yeah, one first.
With no money issues, he's under contract.
Okay.
Why would you not get a first round pick?
I'm just asking.
And there aren't a lot of them out there that are available.
I'm just asking.
And I might need him. The Eagles could need him. You got a quarterback who could crush his ribs on any run. So I think all of that lifts his value, doesn't decrease it. Like Matt Cassel, there were some issues that made him less valuable, less palatable to other teams. Kevin Cobb doesn't have those issues.
Sam in Chicago, thanks for the show. I'm sure you've heard that Rodney Harrison has some statement/announcement to make tomorrow. I can't imagine he's returning to player status as he's 39. Is he 39? She's asking, or he's asking,
that's
we don't know.
About right.
Sam in Chicago.
That's about right.
I can only hope his earth-shattering statement will be that he's returning to football as a coach for the Patriots for some defensive position.
Safeties.
Would you like this to happen?
Yeah.
What do you think? What would you think about that?
I'd love for him to be a coach. I think it'd be very entertaining to watch him coach young players.
Yeah, I don't know if he has any interest in that.
Yeah,
but...
and would he be a good coach? I mean, because he's one of those guys that are perfectionist and... I think of guys like Ted Williams and Larry Bird.
I actually think he's in the category of guys that's hardworking, overachieving scrapper that would make a good coach, but I have no idea if he would be.
But he was.
But I think not Ted Williams with Rodney Harrison. I think backup catcher translating to a great. But he was a fifth or sixth round draft pick.
He worked for
Western Illinois. Nothing was ever
which isn't to say
promised
Ted Williams.
Him.
He was training to be a referee before he got hurt. Remember,
and before some other things happened.
No, but maybe he's does that completely disqualify him from pursuing that avenue?
Yeah, I think it hurts your credibility and your
how does it not hurt your credibility as a coach then?
Well, I mean, you're the law as the official.
And on
your
team, on your team you're the law. On your team if you're a coach,
you're not really
the law.
There's plenty of coaches out there who have broken the law. But
so it's easier for him to become a coach than a referee?
Oh god, yeah. An official holds the game in his hand, the sanctity of the sport. If you don't have your word and your you have nothing.
Well then, but how can you be trusted as a coach then to that your players aren't doing what you used to do?
Doesn't affect the outcome of the game in the way an official does. An official controls both teams. A coach controls just his team and his players. I mean, if you don't have credibility as an official, you have nothing. You have to start from credibility. Now, Paul would argue some of them don't, but I don't think that they've been
proven. He's too busy tweeting over there.
Yeah, suddenly he's like addicted to he turned into Adam Schefter Jr. over here.
Not at all.
Except balder. Older, fatter.
Bad Kevin writes in, I can't bring up anything on Patriots.com, any of the screens, articles, radio, live, or downloads, nothing. Great. Are you aware of this, and is there a timetable of when this might be fixed?
Ferreira sucks, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that.
So, I don't know if anyone's heard that plea. upstairs. Is there any problem with Patriots.com right now?
I'll check. I'll go and try to look at the site, but I haven't seen any other emails that from IT that says it was down.
It?
Well, why wasn't the website?
IT's not going to email us.
No, I meant IT. It.
I know what you meant.
He and I are never on the same page. Hey, we're just different.
He's got a concussion. He just was in a car accident.
I thought that might fix him.
Yeah, leave me alone.
William Barry, Paul's knock favorite emailer, yes. Has a solution for talking over each other. He says, Scalavino comedy troupe. When one speaks, one can pause for breath or to collect one's thoughts. This can be misinterpreted as you're finished, Andy. To prevent this misunderstanding, when you are done talking, say, over. Pause for Andy, who thinks it is over. Okay, sarcasm off. Fred, what I think they mean is the cross conversations. You know, you would be having a semi-serious conversation with Eric while Paul and Andy have a separate conversation making fun of you two. The real solution is don't do that. As for ending with over, don't do that either. I was joking, but since Fred is taking listener suggestions, I'm afraid he'll think it is serious.
Like, is this email over, please, over?
Military walkie-talkie speak.
Yeah.
Paul's, did you get that last transmission? Over.
Stop.
Paul's favorite emailer. Dave writes, and just wondering why the front page of Patriots.com lists off-season accolades and displays Brady's awards and Belichick's awards, but fails to mention the offensive line being named most valuable protectors.
They didn't. That's not a real award. It's like presented by Prilosec.
I know. I did think of that. That, you know, they actually went down there and accepted the award.
But it's not a real
award.
Right. It's yeah. So that's why I didn't put it on the.
The awards that are most respected are the Associated Press's line of awards.
You could have added the All Pros.
Sure.
If you
those are real awards.
To. Those are real awards.
But get over it. This team is built around Belichick and Brady.
That's true, though, Paul. We should have added the All Pros.
Sorry.
I think.
Now, the first team or the second?
Nothing.
Rhetorical question.
No, it wasn't really a rhetorical, because all pros to me are first team, not second team.
That's why it was a rhetorical question.
Brooklyn Matt says, Fred, ask Andy if he got the Flying Nun reference in regards to what Kevin's open collar looked like. It was a pre-1985 cultural reference, you know. It would go along well with his not knowing what a stole was.
I still hate you and still love Brooklyn Decker.
Do you know what I meant by Flying Nun?
I've seen a Flying Nun in something.
In something?
Yeah, I don't know. I can visualize it flying
Sally
over the house.
Sally Field?
Yeah, her.
In your dreams?
I don't know what that is.
She was the Flying Nun.
But a movie or
a
show?
A sitcom.
It was a sitcom.
Ooh, bad
sound
one.
Like it was good.
Bad one.
Her. Now, do you know what they call the thing that they wear in their head?
A hat.
A habit.
Habit.
Very close.
A hat. Yeah,
very close, he said.
Right. It's better. I thought he was going to say turban.
It's a pith hat.
Russ says to the to Bad Kevin, nothing wrong with the website Fix Your Computer.
Yeah, Bad Kevin.
So they're getting the site in England, but... not here in the States.
Now, is that
okay.
A different site? Is that
came
.co?
Came up fine for me, Fred.
Came up.
Okay, good.
Up. Was that part of your concussion, too?
Yeah, now I have a stutter.
Yeah. Derek from the University of Arizona.
You're stuttering, muttering.
Via Adam Schefter, his tweet, and we have one more confirmed franchise tag. San Diego is placing its franchise tag on Vincent Jackson.
That's true.
You see that the Eagles not only
Andy been, very quick to say that as expected
as right
we talked
no,
about
I'd already
many
read
times
it
before.
I just didn't think it was really worthy to us, but I guess it is.
Yeah, we were talking about how, you know, they're picking and choosing what part of the CBA they're going to continue to honor. So all these franchise tags. Well, the Eagles are taking it a step further. They use the franchise and transition tag.
Well, that's what I was
David
kind of getting into last week. Why wouldn't all 32 teams
just take two players,
just franchise and transition guys,
right?
And you could pull it back at any time, so you're going to have the whole lockout to pull it back. Why wouldn't, just in case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have to use them, right?
So I mean, just.
There's a time frame in which
right,
you have
just
to use
in case.
Them.
So use them just right, in case.
Right.
And then
decide later how things play out and pull it off the table.
All right, so who do we transition?
Transition. Who are other free agents?
Matt Light?
No.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Restricted.
Gerard Warren?
Gerard Warren. Oh.
That's a lot of money.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
They're all going to be a lot of money, though. I mean,
but you do have to operate under the assumption that you might have to pay it.
Well, no, if you pull it off the table fast enough before he signs it.
Well, or if you say it fast enough.
That's why. Which is why I said
your friend just checked. No, yeah.
How about...
he's disenfranchised.
Kevin Falk.
Oh.
What?
Kevin Falk.
Okay.
Mm. Running backs aren't paid that much money.
Is so. Branch under contract?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Jarrad Page. I don't know.
Jarrad Page. Mm. If you liked him.
I do.
I'm saying Belichick. It doesn't really matter what we think.
Well, Bill, listen to us a little more often.
Yeah. Jordan from
we'd have no titles instead of the three that we do have.
Nothing wrong with them.
Jordan from London, about the special teams being ranked number one, you have to take into consideration the Miami game early in the season. That game probably skewed the stats a little. My question for you are CBA related. Assuming the CBA gets done before the season starts, will the free agency period start immediately and how long will it last? If you guys don't know, can strippers help?
Well, there's no answer. There's no answer. It'll be collectively bargained.
Secondly,
and more than likely, people have talked about, you know, as little as a week, but I would have to think it's going to be a little bit longer than that, where they have a free agency period. But then, if you get into September, can you afford to waste, quote unquote, waste a lot of time on free agency?
Yeah.
While losing more and more games, and you know, I don't know.
Then it'll become the lost off season, and most people probably just re-sign with their former team at a one-year deal or something, and then
just do a do-over. Everybody that was on a team can be on the team again.
Yeah,
and imagine, let's just say that you are moving the season up. Imagine if you're Indianapolis and you're planning for the Super Bowl, and you've got the Super Bowl on a set date.
That's why I think the Super Bowl is going to have to be on that set date.
Yeah. That they can't go past that.
Yeah.
Plus,
they got the combine thereafter. In Indy?
Yeah.
A few weeks later? I mean, it's.
Secondly, do you think there's any chance that the prospects coming out of college boycott either the combine or the draft? There's talk of that.
Yes, there is talk of
that. That does them no good, in my opinion.
And as I told Paul, that's
your opinion. I agree.
The issue you would have to deal with is the number of movie stubs I'll be turning in on my expense report. Because if I have to spend 5 days in Indy with actually nothing to do, I'll be seeing a lot of movies.
Well, here's the funny thing about it.
What point do you pull the plug on that
project? Here's the funny thing about it, you know. So the NFLPA asks these guys coming into the league, hey, as a sign of solidarity, boycott the combine and the draft. At the same time, they're saying, yeah, but you're negotiating a rookie salary cap on us, and that seems to be okay with you. Why should we help you out? You know? So it goes both ways.
Do you think there's any chance that happens?
That they boycott?
I don't.
I don't know.
I don't really think so.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if participation in the combine goes down this year.
The testing, you mean? The physical testing?
Yeah.
I don't care about the testing, but I'm talking about their participation in terms of going
being interviewed.
You have to do that. That's what they're talking about, boycotting.
You have to do that.
The player, I don't think.
Player
I don't
can't
think
afford
it
that.
I don't think it matters a whole lot if they work out or not. No. It'd be great if they all worked out, but.
Because most of the top echelon guys don't anyway. They have their specific pro day with their school or their individual ones. So,
but
actually being there and making your interviews, you have to do that.
But now it goes the other way where you could almost, because it's always been seen as a positive, you worked out. You worked out at the combine. Now it could be seen as a negative in terms of labor issues because you went against the suggestions.
I just want to play football.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Andy, I just want to play football.
I like that. I like that, Paul.
That's the response.
Yep.
The guy that does that says, listen, these things will work themselves out in due time. I just want to play football, and I want to put myself in the best position to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Brent from Switzerland, after finishing up the podcast from last week on the CBA, a few thoughts occurred to me. In opening up the books, the owners may also create issues on employee and local contracts. Hypothetically, what if other teams paid their PFW media team much more than you guys?
Hypothetically.
Then you would have an issue that you are underpaid. On the other hand, what if you guys were at the top of the pay scale? Would Kraft cut your pay? Same for all other coaching, marketing, and operations people across the NFL. Also look at local contracts. If the Razor sells Coke, Bud, etc., are they getting a better deal than the Bills and Colts, etc.? Expenditures on equipment and other items, are they similar across the NFL? Regards to benefits, even if someone did not hire their son as an employee, are there other people receiving additional benefits like cars, housing paid for, expense accounts, etc.? All these things would be open and questioned. Sure, some owners are cheap and others are cheaper, but I don't think they just fear opening the books to the players, but also to each other.
Right.
As employees, what are your fears on this? Anyway, always enjoy the show and keep up the good work.
So, I don't have any personal fears.
I could, you know.
But I agree. We talked about that last week or the week before that. I think the owners don't want the other owners knowing what they're doing.
They feel it's their private business.
Yeah.
Brian at UNH, I'm sending this the day before the show, so there's no chance it'll get read, but here goes anyway.
Oof, Fred proved you wrong.
Now that Mankins has been franchise tagged, are we going to see a repeat of the 2010 season, or do you think he'll get a contract? Personally, I think it would be a huge mistake to let him get out of New England, considering he's one of the top two or three guards in the NFL. We all agree with that. We all want him to sign.
But I'm not sure he will. But I don't think he'll sit out half the season. He might sit out the whatever offseason there is whenever that occurs. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll probably play more games this year.
Mr. T in Portland, Oregon. Hey, man of PFW, which includes Eric.
Really?
Talking over one another, don't stop, keep doing it. I've been listening for over 4 years, and for the first time I disagree with Fred and side with Paul. Passion, it's the best part of PFW, whether it is opinions, homerism, or heated arguments. It's all passion, and that is what keeps listeners coming back. Talking over each other occasionally because you guys get heated, it's a good thing, just like a chick making weird noises during sex. It's part of the passion. It keeps the show from being lifeless and boring. It's part of why you are the best radio show, period. Don't change a thing.
And a lot of comparisons between sex and PFW in progress today.
I wonder why.
But sex is
good. I'm all that comfortable.
Everyone loves sex. So that means everyone loves us, right? Sex is a little messy at times. We're a little messy at times. They keep going.
Can you stop?
Sex will ruin your sheets.
Sometimes we'll ruin your sheets.
God almighty. Let's see. Luca writes
in. Didn't mention the zebra.
Brodsy?
What zebra?
The one that you have your arm.
Yes, your elbow deep in the zebra.
Well, we only have a few minutes left in the show, Kevin. And I thought maybe you might want to recreate your accident. Now, you smashed into a semi-trailer truck?
Yeah, an 18-wheeler.
Did your counsel advise you not to discuss this in public?
I haven't hooked up with
haven't
a
retained
official
one yet?
Counsel yet.
I'm 1-800 Yama Jim.
So what happened? You were texting in...
No, I wasn't. I was driving to work.
Your Honor, he's leading the witness.
Driving to work at, you know, four in the morning, like Paul likes to say.
Four in the morning, and you managed to hit the one truck on the road.
The one truck on the road, yep.
So what did he do? He just jackknifed in front of you, or what was he doing?
So you're coming from 495 up Route 1.
Yeah.
And you're in the far right-hand lane or the middle right-hand lane?
No, the far right-hand lane.
Far right-hand lane, and he is coming across the intersection?
Yeah, he had acted like he was going to make a right-hand turn into the street. At the intersection.
Oh, and then he swung back
and then
around left.
Swung back around left to cut across the entire
son of a
width
bitch.
Of Route 1.
Jeez.
Why didn't you skid sideways like in?
Well, I tried.
Go
I,
underneath.
Well,
like they do in the
I tried. I tried. I tried to go sideways, but I went from that right-hand lane to the left, then to the left-hand turn only, trying to get out in front of him to avoid him, and that's why I ran into the cab, which was, they said was kind of fortunate because if you go under the trailer,
the odds
of you getting really, really hurt, if not
right.
killed,
oh
go up
God.
A significant amount.
Headless radio.
So I hit him. I was going like the speed limit on that part of Route 1 is 55. So it's probably going like 55, 60.
Stick with the 55.
By the time impact happened, the officer estimated I was going probably around 40, 45 because I was skidding.
Wow. Airbag go off?
You were lucky.
Obviously?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's that like?
It's intense. It feels like someone punches you in the face.
Really?
I thought it broke my nose because my eyes wouldn't stop watering and... I was in shock, and sometimes you don't know what's, you know, happening to you right when it happens. So when I got out, I think one of the guys thought I was crying, and I was like, no, it's because it whacked me in the nose.
I was cutting onions.
But what happened, Freddie, was I hit the, like, saddlebag of the cab of the 18-wheeler. So I was going, like, 45 miles an hour like a missile right into his gas tank, and it fortunately didn't explode. It punctured the gas tank, and there was diesel fuel leaking out.
Wow.
But it didn't
And he
explode.
Was fine? Did he just
Yeah, he didn't
away?
Even really feel it. He admitted, the one good thing about it was he got out and admitted it was all his fault to the state trooper. Oh,
were there any other cars behind you or
There were no cars behind me, but there was, at the time of the accident, there was a green light going northbound, and there was also a green arrow if you wanted to make the left-hand turn.
Yeah.
So everybody else at the intersection had red and was stopped. So they were all stopped at the time and saw this happen, like, right in the middle of the intersection. So everyone just got out of their cars and came over to me. And there was a couple of nice
they
people.
They baked cookies?
Helped. No, they didn't bake me cookies. But I owe one guy a beer because he helped get me. Because my door was completely, you know, the side panels were all jammed together, so I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So I had to crawl into the back of the car because this guy was a contractor, and he was kind of aware enough to say, all right, like, if you can move, try to move because there's gas leaking from this truck and you don't want to be around it. So once I heard that, I was like, tried
Gotta
to
go.
Squeeze through the two seats, you know, in a sedan, and I was able
Paul
would
have never made it.
I was kicking the passenger or the driver's side back door, and he was pulling while I was kicking, and we were able to get it open and get me out. So
wow.
I owe him a beer.
Scariest thing that
you
ever happened to you?
You couldn't get
life?
Out on the passenger side?
No, I tried the driver's side just because that when I shimmied through the crack in the seat, I went with where my feet were because I figured the odds of me being able to kick the door open were greater than trying to push it.
Is that the scariest thing that ever happened?
Is that because you don't go to the gym and
yes,
scream and yell? And when
Andy would have just removed the broken
top,
door.
The top of the door. Oh, that's true. I mean, the top of the roof of the car.
He would have ripped a hole in the roof and
too
just
light.
Through.
Do you know what kind of truck it was?
It was an 18-wheel.
No, but I mean, like New England Tractor Trailer School or
no, it was
you got that number for it
was
truck
a,
master.
It was a commercial truck from North Carolina, so he didn't know the area.
It wasn't our guy,
was
it?
Carolina.
It wasn't.
No,
Craig.
It wasn't
no,
Eldridge.
The,
Eldridge.
Yeah, Eldridge.
I made sure. I actually
talking
looked
on the phone. Oh,
now, did you get the 800 number on the back that says "How's my driving"?
I did not, because the back was actually I hit the side of it, so that didn't register. But I actually thought of Eldridge when I looked at the accident report, and the guy was from North Carolina. The truck was from North Carolina. I was like, what are the odds?
The name said Eldridge.
Eldridge comes up to visit us and then, you know, just absolutely kills me.
All right. Well, that's
not absolutely, thankfully.
It's scary.
It's a good thing you're okay.
You can still see pieces of my car.
Yeah. Yes, I've noticed those. I have noticed those driving by.
That is really scary.
What kind of car you got?
For the rental or would I crash?
No, the one you crashed.
It was a 2006 Ford Taurus. So it was a decent car.
Decent little ad for Taurus. You know, like
totaled?
Brady's for his Audi. He had
no
issues. No,
I'm really thankful to the car.
Totaled? That's why I brought it
That's
up.
What they think, yeah. I haven't officially heard from the insurance company because they took it on Friday. Yeah. But it was pretty banged up. But I was, like, pretty thankful to the car if that was the last time driving it that it protected me as well as it did.
Good job, Taurus.
Be like that Subaru commercial where you go back and take the stick shift knob and put it in your pocket because it saved your life. You ever see that commercial?
No.
It's really sappy. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of
really,
PFW in Progress. things will happen over the week. We'll see what happens down with the owners' meetings. I don't think they're going to be talking much this week, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe there could be an emergency meeting called for between now and Thursday, and if they do, we'll talk about it. See ya.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.